Here's the latest from ABC News. Ontario Albinger, a leading government safety agency, says it's time to rethink what's legal when it comes to drinking and driving. ABC's Aaron Katursky has the story.
The change amounts to a couple of beers at a sports bar, but Jana Price of the National Transportation Safety Board says lowering the allowable blood alcohol content from 0.08% to 0.05% could reduce drunk driving deaths.
Driving abilities are significantly impaired at DAC levels well below 0.08.
Most of the industrialized world already has the lower limit.
The U.S. is virtually alone among developed countries in having a BAC personal level as high as 0.08.
The NTSB also wants stiffer penalties for first-time and repeat offenders. Aaron Kittersky, ABC News, New York.
The top man of the IRS says mistakes have been made. His agency will They won't be repeated once ABC's Ann Thompson is coming out.
In a newspaper opinion column, the man who is acting head of the IRS claims all groups were treated even-handedly. Conservatives were not singled out. Stephen Miller writes that during the midterm elections, the number of new group applications ballooned to nearly 3,400, and the IRS had to make sure they were not supporting candidates which is against the law of the group itself from paying federal taxes.
That's the most important thing.
News Talk 600 WSOL. stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of flow.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I thought about this song. I heard it, I saw it a little bit earlier. And for those of you who do not know, it is, the song is called One Nation Under a Groove. And there's a lot going on that'll make you think about what's going on in our community and in our society and in our country that will make you think that America is truly one nation under a groove. They are just off the chain, and we are doing things. Things are happening in situations that I just don't think they should be happening. And you know, I don't profess to know it all, but I know what's right and what's wrong, and the difference between the two. And what's going on right now is not right. And we need to own up to that, and we need to stand up and say, you know what, these things are not right. And we need to have systemic change, because if we do not change them, they're going to change the look of America that we know, the look of our community as we know it, and our young people and our future will not have the same opportunities as our present. And I think we've become very, very selfish as Americans, because we look for the immediate right now, not looking into the future, and it is killing us. It truly, truly is killing us. Whether you want to own up to what's going on or not. And we're going to have to start being honest about what's happening in our world. You've heard us talk about different things. You've got, you got a president who, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, everything is political, you know, and everything is not that political. I mean, I know, you know, we play politics, but, you know, there are some things that went wrong, and we need to just come out and say they went wrong, and that's not what's happening. You've got the IRS thing and people being targeted, and I'm quite sure it's been done in the past. And like I said, I know people who have lost their jobs because of their political affiliation or what they've done in a political campaign. Even here locally in the Mahoning Valley, we have a propensity to make people stay out of the political arena based upon their ideals. And I don't think that's wise. I don't think that's smart. And then we have to understand that we have to agree to disagree. And tolerance does not mean that I accept what you do. But what it means is I accept who you are. That's something that we as Americans are going to have to learn. I am, you know, whether it be how you live, what you do, how you look, what you want to become, where you want to go, don't make me accept what you do, but let me accept you for who you are. And be able to treat you right, even if I disagree with who and how you live. And that's something that we have not done a very, very good job at. And we're not doing a very, very good job at it. I was reading something on the in the news today, and it was telling me that, you know, even in Russia is throwing out our CIA diplomat because they said they're undercover. They're throwing out our diplomat from the United States Embassy, saying that they are CIA operatives trying to recruit spies over in Russia. I mean, you were looking at, you know, you got homosexuals still pushing for getting into the Boy Scouts. And if the Boy Scouts are a private entity, then why do I have to accept what you do? And I don't get it. And they're trying to make themselves a classification of people to have equal opportunity across the board, because they feel as though that they cannot change who they are and what they do. And even if that be true, I should not make me go into a certain arena. You know, and I want you guys to give me some feedback on this, because I know that we've done this with women's rights. We've done it with country clubs. We've done it with, I'm going to say we've probably done it with Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, that they've tried to exclude African Americans and females, or females in the Boy Scouts. But, you know, when does it stop? But I don't think it's a good move. I just don't. And, you know, if they are considered a classification of people, which they should have never been done, but Congress did it, and you need to know what Congress has done behind the cloaks of time, because they pass a lot of legislation without letting people know that they passed it. They do it in the cover of night. And that's where I am so upset with President Obama, because he said that he was going to give transparency. He was going to open up the transparent walls of Washington and let people in so that we would know what was going on. And that he has not stood up to. And so I am looking at what's going on here, and I don't think it's good. I just don't. And it is causing a more and more of a distrust of the American people not to get involved in politics. But our social issues, our economic issues, our political issues, they're all tied together, whether you want to acknowledge the tie or not. I'm reading something on Political, and it says the scandal of politics is sweeping the United States Capitol. And I need for people of color who stand by this president and all that he does to open their eyes and say, you know what, something is wrong here. And as I said on yesterday, I don't believe he knew everything. I'm not going to say that he did. I can't say that he knew everything about everything. I just don't believe that. But I do believe that there's a lot going on around him that they're not telling him, and that they've kept him sheltered from. And there's no way that he should not have heard. Yesterday, I said this yesterday, he said about the IRS that he didn't know anything about the IRS thing until he saw it on TV too. That should never happen. That right there tells you there's a problem somewhere. Don't know where, but there's a problem somewhere. And who knows what? You got Benghazi, and there's Hillary Clinton. And yes, I think Hillary Clinton should go back to Capitol Hill. And yes, she should testify before the House, because this is falling in her lap. Remember the 3 o'clock call? Well, she's the one that said that she would be there for the 3 o'clock call. Well, as the Secretary of State, she should have been there. So the question was, whose phone rung and who told them to stand down? And was it her or was it President Obama? And whose lap is it going to fall into? And there's a question all in itself right there. Then you have let me find this out. Then you have you know, other things that are going on, and I'm going over all the stuff. People are just irate, but then the media has, you know, they're mad now about certain things. They said that the journalists fume over Department of Justice raid on Associated Press. So I guess there were some things that they wanted to have, and they went and got them. But then they have not been doing their job, and we've been saying this for a very, very long time, that the media has been very, very disingenuous when it comes to covering what happens. And I'm reading a book on the history of NBC, CBS, the New York Times, and the LA Times, and this has been going on since Roosevelt. And Roosevelt was one of the first people to use media to his advantage. And so when you look at what has happened over the years, they have been playing, and this is Republican and Democrat. I'm not playing blame on one side or the other, but they have been using the media as their own bully pulpit instead of using it as a place for the people. So now, when you look at the FCC, which is the Federal Communications Commission, who oversees all of the broadcast media and sets in the rules and guidelines of how things are supposed to happen, you will see where Congress, who has authority over the FCC, has allowed this to happen when it allowed all of the stations to converge and to become one. So where they used to have laws where you could not have a monopoly in one market, you will find out that you will have ownership and they will own everything in one market, going one place, doing one thing. You got to understand this is not a good way to have coverage, because he who owns the media owns the mind. And so everything coming out is not being honest, because they're going to spin it in their own way. So you look at all these cable channels, you look at all this news that we have, and you find out that where they're supposed to be reporting the news, they're giving you the planting seeds of their own ideals and their own thoughts, and you are running with it. And if you really want to look what spin is what you see happening every day inside of your media empires. And they are encapsulating and they are controlling the ways that we think so that it will amuse us and it will not cause us to think. And that is a problem. So everything that we are thinking, someone else has planted a seed about how we think about it. And so now things that we thought were not okay, we are now saying, you know, maybe we ought to be a little bit more passionate about that. Well, maybe we ought to do this about that. I mean, just think about that. Hey, the number 347-945-5229 wants you to call in and give us an opportunity to have a conversation and discuss this. But I'm just saying, overall, we are not getting the coverage, and we're not getting the honesty in media that we should. And it's really hurting us. Take a listen to this.
We're distressed that the Justice Department felt the need to seize our records and not tell us about it, and certainly distressed, as our CEO said in his protest to the Justice Department, that the scope of the inquiry is so huge. I've been in this business more than 30 years, and our First Amendment lawyers and our lawyers inside the AP and our CEO, who is also a well-known First Amendment lawyer, none of us have ever seen anything like this.
Now, she brought in something that the First Amendment, you get the freedom of the press, you get the freedom of speech. Do you understand what happens remember, they've been giving Eric Holder, who is the attorney general, they've been giving him a pass on everything over the last 6 years. They haven't, I mean, or sorry, four and a half years. He's been getting a real pass. They really have not been scrutinizing the things that go on in his department as the attorney general. They haven't scrutinized anything that goes on in the State Department. They haven't scrutinized anything that goes on in the White House. They have been giving these guys a real big attaboy. Go for what you know. Now everybody's up in arms because we're finding out that they're going after them, and they actually went into the Associated Press and quietly took
one third of all House committees right now are in.
Quietly took records out of the Associated Press. They seized their property, and it was done in a covert manner. And now everybody's upset. Well, you know, that's what happens when you don't do your job. And when you don't do your job, this is what goes on. So now, the question is, are you going to allow them to get away with it and continue? And are you going to make them change as the American people? That includes locally. That includes statewide. That includes nationwide. No matter who's in office, somebody needs to be accountable to the American people. And if you're not getting the information that you deserve and you think you need, then you need to go after them. Let's look at what happens inside of your city council meetings. You go in and you think that you're going to be a part of a meeting, but you're not a part of the meeting because the meeting has already been played out before they even step out and say the pledge. So they go through the agenda, and they do a consent agenda. When this consent agenda is, they take everything and they put it all into all bills, all of the the ordinances into one lump and they pass them all without any open discussion, without any knowledge of what's going on, and you don't get to hear the discussions because you don't know that the meeting took place in the committee meeting that happened at 8 o'clock that morning or earlier in that week or last week. And so everything is done by committee and then brought to the floor because the $27,000 that you pay your city council members is being done in another fashion because you're not paying attention to what goes on. And so whoever manipulates the majority actually gets the bills passed the way they want them to be done. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Want to hear from you today. We'll be right back. I'm going to take a break, and we'll see you on the other side.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Is dogging the White House this morning. That is the assault on the U.S. mission in Benghazi. We saw President Obama yesterday. He's angrily responding to these Republican-led hearings. Yesterday, the president called those efforts a sideshow driven by politics.
If this was some effort on our part to try to downplay what had happened or tamp it down, that would be a pretty odd thing that 3 days later we end up putting out all the information that, in fact, has now served as the basis for everybody recognizing that this was a terrorist attack.
Congressman Darrell Issa chairs the House Committee on Oversight on Government Reform. He's on Capitol Hill. Congressman Issa, good morning.
Good morning. And unfortunately, you just heard the president spin, and in the worst way. What he said was this somehow was a partisan sideshow. Last week on Wednesday, we had three career State Department officials, including the highest-ranking person in the State Department present there, the acting ambassador, Gregory Hicks. He's not a partisan, and what he said was he knew it was a terrorist attack from the get-go. The now-deceased ambassador said to him his dying words, if you will, last words heard by anyone in Tripoli, Greg, we're under attack. And he communicated that, in fact, it was a terrorist attack immediately to the operations center. So when they came clean, when the jig was up, that's not the same as they didn't try a cover-up.
But, Congressman, respond specifically to the President of the United States, who said, how can it be a cover-up when just several days after Susan Rice was on the Sunday shows that he sent the head of the National Counterterrorism Center, Matt Olson, up to Capitol Hill and specifically said it was an act of terrorism and that extreme elements were involved?
What you say behind closed doors and what you say subtly, well, in fact, you're telling five Sunday shows that this was spinning, that it was a video. The 12 changes that took a CIA report from true to a lie to the American people, these are not things that any Republican is making up. These are facts. The press knows it. You know it. The fact is, on Face the Nation, on CBS, you had the president of Libya making it very clear that this was a premeditated terrorist attack on September 11th, and you had Susan Rice in a very non-diplomatic way effectively saying either he didn't know what he was doing or he was lying. And then you wonder why it took us 3 weeks for the FBI to get to Benghazi. Well, okay. News reporters were able to walk all over that site.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I wanted to play that clip, and because it is there is a lot that goes on within our system. And I have a guest with me right now, and he is going to be talking to us about, he does a blog, and he's written a book called Never Enough Patients, Managing Your Health, Wealth, and Stress. But he's also done a blog on gun, gays, and immigrants and why America is so divided and the three things we should do to solve it. And so I'm going to pull him into this conversation. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me here.
Jeff Gaines, you're out of where?
I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And you've written this book about all these things. How are you going to solve? Tell me, how do we solve this? It's off. Your mic is open.
Piece of cake. So, you know, first thing I want to do is link, the blog post link Gun, Gays, Immigration. My book title, as you mentioned, also links health, wealth, and stress. And I think we can even, in a way, join all six of them together. Because at the core of it, it all comes down to how we make choices, how we make decisions. You know, what drives our decision-making. And most people think that our decision-making process is based on logic. You know, I look at an issue like gun control or you know, gay marriage, and I have this kind of internal rational analysis, and then I make a choice. And that's just not how we make decisions. You know, if that's how we made decisions, we would all eat right and exercise, spend less than we make, and, you know, not schedule ourselves into the ground. So decision-making is not about logic is, I think, the first big takeaway that everybody needs to get. Right? Now, to answer your question directly, how do you deal with the divisiveness You know, how do you fix these issues?
Yeah, because what you said is very, very true. You know, I'm working on the eating, I'm working on the living, I'm working on the spending. And when you think about it, you know, a lot of our decisions are made emotionally. They really are.
You bet.
So how do we stop that?
Well, you know, for most people, the realization that we are these emotional creatures and that emotions drive our choices is new, because that's not what we tell ourselves. We think we're logical. So step one is just, you know, coming to grips with the process itself before you can begin to change it. If I don't know that emotions are driving my choices, I'm never going to change my choices. All right. So, but to answer your question directly, how do you change that? There's a third player in the game here, right? We've talked about logic. We've talked about emotions. And the third driver of our decision-making is our conditioning and our past programming, what I call in the book our robot. And that robotic conditioning gives rise to all of our emotions. So how you change your emotions is you change how your brain is programmed. You change that robot.
Okay. Now I got that part, because you have to really, you have to recondition your mind, and I'm all for that. How do I do that? How does that go about? Because right now I see our country imploding based upon an emotional frenzy.
I think it's not hard to see it from that point of view. And so one question you have is, how do you change a robot? I'm going to answer that directly. I also want to address the kind of implosion that we have going on, because I do think there's a feverish pitch happening. And there's a quote right on the back cover of my book that says, humanity's ability to create abundance has exceeded our ability to resist temptation. In other words, we have more stuff around us than we know how to manage, right? The divisiveness, part of what's driving the divisiveness, is our access to information has never been greater. I mean, there's no point in human history that even comes close to comparing. And a lot of that information is inaccurate or flat out misleading. And so whether it's changing my emotional response to food or to spending or to the news program that I listen to, or how I, you know, get my information and how I really, you know, test, are they doing good research? Are they looking at their information behind the points they're making? It all comes down to being aware of this sea of temptation we swim in. Right?
But now, Jeff, I got a question. I got to throw this in here. Walter Cronkite, in school, the majority of us went to public school, and we had something called social studies. In which that's what we did then.
I remember, yeah, I know. I was just thinking, my son's in school. He takes some version of it.
It's a version of it, but it's not the way that we had it. We had to go and clip out newspaper clippings and bring them to school and talk about what was in the news. And because the news, remember the news at 6 o'clock when we sat down and ate supper, it was fact. It was what we believed that was happening across this globe. And if you lived in a small town, you had 3 channels. If you lived in a big town, you had 6.
Right.
And
yeah,
so now we have this abundance of news sources in this 24-hour news cycle. And most of them are what you call sensationalist and or talking heads. But the facts that you truly need to get through so that you can actually start critically thinking, those things are not given. You have to fish for those.
Agreed.
And most of us do not have time to go fishing.
And I'm going to add
Nor
to
do
that.
We know how.
Or do we know how? Because, and that's really the point. Now, you know, your earlier question, how do you change a robot? We've got to start learning. You know, we as individuals have to learn how to live in the society that has been created by those that came before us. I mean, we could get rid of all this great information that we have, you know, this easy access to information, or we could learn how to use it. And I think we have to learn how to use it. So, you know, one of the assignments I give in my book is to watch, you know, Fox News for 15 minutes, then CNN, then MSNBC. You know, to warn my readers that they might have an aneurysm doing that. You know,
because
they'll be talking about it as though they'll usually be talking about the same story as though it happened on 3 different planets. And the problem is, you've got news organizations that are stating their opinions as though they're facts. And they don't separate those two. So the answer is, we as individuals have to learn to tell the difference between knowledge an opinion and between what is a fact and what is a belief. And those two things are getting mashed together. They're getting, you know, blurred. And if you can't tell the difference between them, you know, to your point on how do you have the time, how do you learn how to vet out what they're saying, if you don't know how to tell the difference between a belief and a fact, there is no way. You could read all day long, you're never going to figure it out.
Yeah, we're not taught that. We're taught to, remember, we've been, I look at the process. We're conditioned to follow.
Agreed.
We're conditioned to learn. We're not conditioned to think. Even when we go to college, you would think that college would tell you how to think on your own, and actually it teaches you how to follow the people in front of you.
I agree. Or, you know, digest and regurgitate isn't
pretty
really
much
critical thinking, right? And which is exactly, you know, the point, you know, really well way to put well-worded way to make the point I'm trying to make here, which is that people are going to have to learn it on their own. It's not being taught in schools. You're not taught how to eat right and exercise in school. Most people aren't taught at home. You're going to have to learn the internal mechanisms of decision-making yourself. And how do you solve what's going on in our country? We have to get to a critical mass of people who can learn the difference between a belief and an emotion, and between an emotion and a piece of information or a fact. Right, and if enough of a critical mass does that, you would start to see, you know, a real change. And I'm an optimist. I'm a believer that more and more of that is happening. Now, there is really fascinating work being done in the field of human behavior and psychology. We understand things about the way the brain works that we never understood before, and you know, it's chaotic. It's a mess. You know, I think 100 years from now, you know, history is going to look back on this period in time as one of the most feverish times of change and evolution in human behavior, right? Or 100 years from now, we're going to look back on a smoking crater. You know, we're going to see. Hopefully, we'll see. Right? But it has to happen.
The number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call in, ask a question, or just join the conversation, you know that you're more than welcome to do that. Because I am looking at this, and we change definitions of words now.
We do.
I mean, you know, red is no longer red. It used to be red. Primary colors, red, blue, and green. No longer do they stand. Those don't hold true anymore. And so when I look at tolerance, because and you speak about stress levels, and what we fail to realize is a lot of this does impact our stress levels.
Oh, incredibly so. We're more stressed than at any point, you know, in history, and we have less reason to be than in history. You know, people, stress used to be, I wonder if my family is going to die this week. You know, it was survival. And that was a legitimate thing to be stressed about. Very few people in this country are stressed about survival. I mean, it still happens. I don't mean to diminish the violence and all the issues out there, but we, compared to the history of the human race, are a very safe society.
Pretty much. Right?
So where does the stress come from? You know, most of it is self-manufactured.
So this stress that I have, because, you know, you watch television. If you look at what we're watching on TV, even the programs that we watch, we're talking about just the regular dramas, have you on the end of the seat, clenching to the edge with your toes, trying to get to the cliffhanger at the end of the program. Cliffhangers are no longer for the season ending.
Right.
It's for the next show.
And sometimes even for the next commercial.
Pretty much. Pretty much. So you're not leaving. It's just how we program things to happen today.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at getting people to relax and to begin to watch things lightly for them to quit tripping, that's the best way I could put that, and to begin to woosaw, to chill out, and to start looking at things right in front of them. So that when you look at tolerance, that's what I'm going back to. You know, I look at tolerance as something that I don't have to agree with you, Jeff, nor do I have to agree with your book, but I have to respect you for what you believe. And I don't have to like it. I don't have to think it's okay. And it's okay for me not to. But I still have to treat you with dignity and respect and treat you right. And if I do that, then I become a better person and I'm not stressed out because I don't like how you live.
I think that's fantastic. And to me, the most crucial element of tolerance and why it is often lacking is humility. If my belief system says everything I believe is absolutely, completely 100% true, it's difficult to be tolerant of others. If I can have some humility of belief that says, well, there's beliefs that I hold very near and dear to me, they're important, right? But that doesn't mean I have all the answers, and it doesn't mean I know everything there is to know, and it certainly doesn't mean I'm always right. But if I believe I'm right, anyone who believes different than me is an offense. So,
I am an absolute. I'll put it out there. I'm an absolute. I believe that my way is the right way, and until you convince me my way is wrong, then we're going to agree to disagree because I'm always right. Next thing, yeah, I am. You know, you have to know me. I'm always right.
Yeah.
And so my belief system is absolute. What I believe in my faith is absolute. And it's okay. But in that, I've learned to learn tolerance and to learn respect of people. And the problem that I find today, even in my political and my social beliefs, is that people have not learned how to be respectful in their lack of belief. I am a Christian. I am an evangelical. I'm an evangelical psychopath. I am. I believe what I believe. And I believe the Word of God is the only way. I believe all of that. And that's what I believe. But I found out that I'm not here to hate you because you don't believe what I believe. I believe that we should not have abortion. I believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman only. But with that, I think that we ought to treat people who don't live like me, don't want to live like me, with respect and dignity. And if they want to give all their property, if they want to have them have all say over their body, if they want to have them in whatever they want to do is their business. And civil unions should be allowed for people who want to have them. And I'm not stressing out about it, but what I'm saying is, we have gotten to the place where we don't respect those people so that they can do what they want to do because we don't agree with them.
You know, one of the first things you said there was, I believe what I believe unless you can convince me otherwise.
Correct.
And that, to me, is why you're a tolerant person. You know, when we talk about tolerance, the problem is a lot of people believe tolerance means lack of conviction. That if I really believe what I believe and I make any space in my brain for others that are different from me to even exist, then I don't believe it enough. And I think the way you worded that's a perfect example that it's not about how much you believe what you believe. It's not about conviction. You totally believe, but what's different is I can talk to you and it's possible for me to change your mind. There's the humility part. It doesn't mean you lack conviction in what you believe. It means you're open to listening. You know, I may or may not change your mind, but we can have a discussion about it, right? And that, to me, is the root of tolerance.
South Carolina, what did you say?
That's a little bit different definition. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, I'm going to be tolerant of what you believe. I'm not going to, you know, we may have a discussion, but at the end of the day, if you've changed your mind, that's fine. If I've changed my mind, that's fine. But I'm gonna allow you to exist. The problem is, when you've got individuals that don't believe the same way you do, if they're calling you intolerant, you're willing to let them live and have their belief, they're not so accommodating. They want you to just dry up and die because you agree with them.
I'm looking at this Boy Scouts thing, and I understand the need to have the affirmation of being able to be a Boy Scout leader. But I also understand the belief of the foundational organization of the Boy Scouts. And it's not about your, you know, they're not discriminating against who you are. They're discriminating of what you're saying and what they're afraid that you might teach and the affirmation of it. And how can they tell someone that you must allow these people or allow persons, I mean, I want to say it that way, allow persons to join my organization when it goes against the core fundamental belief of what my foundation stands on?
Well, it's a dicey one. I'll wade into that.
They didn't tell you this was going to be easy, did they?
No, I don't want it to be easy. I think you really personify what needs to happen in the country. State your beliefs, have an opinion, listen to people of different beliefs. I mean, that's what we're lacking. I mean, can we have a respectful, honest dialogue about it? To me, the question of gay rights in general comes down to a pretty critical belief choice, right? And that is, do you believe that somebody who is gay is opting to do that, or is it in their genetic makeup?
Doesn't matter.
Well, here's why I think it does. Because if it's in their genetic makeup, now we're comparing it to race and gender, right? Because then it used to be the Boy Scouts wouldn't let black people in at all.
That's true. That's true.
Right? And when they were mandated to, it was the same thing. How dare you dictate to us, a private entity, who we should? We don't want a black troop leader preaching to our kids that ethnic diversity is okay, because we don't think it's okay. And we don't want them telling our kids that it's okay.
But you know the difference? Is that I can go join a Girl Scout troop today and never tell them I'm gay, and they will never know. I promise you, as a black female, I cannot walk into a room and assimilate and you not know that I'm an African American.
Yeah.
Therein lies the difference.
Here's the thing. Even if you can even hide your gender to a certain extent, but they still don't know you're black.
But I can't get away. What people fail to realize in the history of African Americans, people have taken baths in bleach. They've taken baths. They have done everything they possibly could try to figure out to lighten their skin so that they could assimilate into mainstream culture.
Isn't that what homosexuals are having to do? It's just easier for them to do it because it's not a skin color issue.
It's not easier for them to do it. They can, because when you choose, they can. I mean, they can actually walk out and never know. If they put on a suit or put on a dress or whatever, you won't know unless I think that's up to them. But it's the affirmation of me saying, well, you know what, well, that's kind of cool. You're gay, I'm not gay, we're heterosexual, you're homosexual, you're normal, I'm normal, we're great. It goes against the fundamental core of the Christian beliefs of the Boy Scouts. That's where the issue lies. It's like me saying now that I belong to a Christian church that I now have to perform same-sex marriages. And that's where the issue comes in. And so when I ask you about tolerance and when I ask you about, you mean being able to cohabitate and to deal with my guns, my gays, and my immigration? I'm not against immigration. I think immigration is great. Everybody's an immigrant, but black folks. We didn't immigrate. We're indigent. We're indigenous. I'm sorry. We're indigenous to this America because we are not from anywhere. Because we came here, our ancestry came from Africa, but by the time you get to a light-skinned black person, I promise you they didn't come out the Sanhedrin of Africa by that way.
Well, it's true for me, though, too. I'm not Native American. Anyone who's not is an immigrant.
But there, it was a procedure of coming in. And if you went around the procedure of coming in, allowing amnesty to 11 million people when we did it, 30 years ago for 2 million people, but we don't close the borders. And the people who have come through friends of mine, who have come through the borders and paid and gone to school and done a whole lot of stuff, it's not right.
Well, what do you think we should do then? Because my position on the immigration thing, is I don't have a strong one on it, because it's one of these issues where practicality collides with ideology. You know, we're not going to round up, we're not going to get the National Guard on the streets and round up 11 million people and deport them. So, unless we're going to do that, then we need to decide what we're going to do with these people. So what do you think we should do then?
You really want to know what I think they should do?
Of course, it's your show.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. One, I think we should change the laws. we should change, because right now we don't have common sense laws. You know, if you come across the border and you have and you are an illegal, your child should not be a natural, should not be a citizen of the United States of America. If they're not given to legal parents,
yeah,
that's one.
I'm fine with
that.
I'm led to believe though that there's some constitutional problem there.
Then we need to change the Constitution,
yeah,
because
which
what,
is fine.
What,
but
what,
I mean, if you're born in U.S. soil, you're a citizen. It's not about parentage, and so changing the Constitution is a very hard thing to do.
Then we need to have another amendment.
Yeah,
we've done
okay.
it before. We can do it now, because what's happening is we do not have. When you look at the that doesn't make sense. If I come here, I'm illegal. My children are legal, so if I deport me, my children stay, and now you have to take care of my children.
Yeah. Yeah, I can get behind that.
I think we need to start registering all illegal immigrants. They need to start getting registered. And if they come and register, we need to help them with a pathway to legalizing their status here.
But isn't that amnesty? I mean, the
no.
conservatives would flip
no.
out at even the notion
no.
of such a thing.
You're going to have to, because right now, we saw what happened a couple of years ago when all of the Latina persons or Latino persons, they decided to go on a walkout. They shut the whole city down.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't afford in a lot of our areas for us to start deporting all the people that are of illegal status, because most of them are working somewhere, and we will lose a lot of people that are working, and you just can't do it. But there are pathways to this, but then you need to close the borders also, and we're not talking about doing that either.
Well, so I'm going to challenge you on that one. Because I was with, I'm totally, you know, I would echo everything you said there. I think, you know, there's a work visa is very different than citizen, and so at the very least, you know, registered workers that are paying taxes and, you know, check to make sure they're not criminals. I mean, there's some pretty common sense, easy things to do. The reason folks won't do that is that they feel it's going to be used as a way to deport them. It's going to be really hard to get them to come on and register. So this needs to be
But we need to assure them of that. But if,
yeah.
now, if you
so,
don't
so register, kind of guarantee that if you're a registered worker,
right.
that doesn't mean you're going to get deported. It also
that's
doesn't
correct.
Necessarily mean you get to be a citizen.
That's
right?
correct.
So,
but you're going to be legalized, because you're going to start paying on what you get.
You bet.
If you do, no more financial aid, no more food stamps, no more health care, no more American benefit entitlements. If you don't register.
I'm good with that. I think
it's
most
none.
People would be.
You can't get a piece of gum. No more EBT cards, nothing unless you're registered.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
if
you come
to your
in
point,
and,
as
you're,
long
and you're
as
needed,
registering...
well, we will service you, but you will be deported if you're not registered within a X amount of time.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to let you die on the steps of the emergency room, but I'm going to deport you as soon as I put a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah.
Because you're not registered.
See, I think most people, it's like the gun control, 90% of Americans are in favor of background checks, and it still failed. I think most Americans would say, we should register these people. I mean, there's really no debate about that. Why wouldn't you do that?
I don't have a problem with not registering them.
Not registering the...
anyone with a gun?
Oh, no.
Let me tell you why I'm against registering with a gun.
Okay, we're switching topics. But,
yeah,
okay,
we're switching topics because you mentioned gun control.
Yeah.
You went over there. But look at gun control. The shooting on Mother's Day in New Orleans, I will make a fair bet with you that the gun that was used was not a registered gun.
Yeah. To be
it
clear, I'm talking
gun.
About background checks, not registration. Those are very different
background,
things.
Background checks, you know, the gun was, you know, the gun that he used, he didn't have a background nor a check.
Right.
It was an illegal gun. I will promise you that.
But isn't that a case for background checks?
No, because they're going to always have them anyhow. The illegal people that are shooting inside of Chicago, New York, New Orleans, Youngstown City, you know, Detroit, all of them, they're not getting background checks. And
here's where I differ with you there. That argument says, well, if we require background checks, there's still people who are going to get guns illegally, so let's not do background checks at all. It's like saying we have laws against drunk driving, and there's still people who do it, so we should get rid of the drunk driving laws. background checks won't get rid of illegal guns. It will reduce the number of them.
No, it won't reduce
them. Oh, it's absolutely. Ask anyone in law enforcement.
No.
Yeah. I mean, something like 90% of law enforcement are in favor of background checks. There's a reason for that.
They're in favor of it, but that doesn't, I mean, but that goes back to, you know, they're in favor of it.
Yes.
But it doesn't stop the crime.
It reduces the number of guns they have to face.
Chicago has one of the strictest laws in the country.
But Indiana
doesn't.
Indiana doesn't, so you can drive an hour away and get any guns you want without a background check. Right. So, you know, if you talk to the law enforcement people in Chicago, they say the problem isn't they don't get them in Chicago. They go across the board and get them.
And so you think that this will solve the problem?
I think not at all, but it reduces. You know, again, I'm not a legal expert, but the law enforcement people say if you do mandatory background checks across the whole country, not just some weird state-by-state difference, you're still going to have people with guns that shouldn't have them, no question. Nobody's arguing that would get rid of them. But if it reduces the number of people who have them, and that will save lives. And to ask somebody to fill out a piece of paperwork does not take away the right to have the gun. You know.
Oh, how to get rid of the guns? How to keep people from killing each other with guns?
How's that?
You start doing public hangings again.
Now I have a question for you. Is this an emotional issue or is this a logical issue? Because I've got to go.
They're all emotional issues, or they'd be easy to solve. They're all emotional issues, incredibly so. If it was about logic, if logic was dictating how we ran the country, these would be easily resolved issues.
In what way?
Oh, Jeff, you just opened up a whole.
In what way? Help me out.
Well, again, if 90% of people are in favor of background checks, and we're in a democracy, shouldn't we have background checks?
Let me say this. If 90%, no, hold on. If 90% of the polls. They check 90% of polling, and we keep on using these numbers because we say they're accurate. But if you look at the accurateness of polling, then Mitt Romney would have been president.
Right, but you know those polls were off by 2% and 3%, not 40%.
No, I can take a poll right now.
Ask Karl Rove; he was all wrong.
Yeah,
you can take a poll and make it say pretty much whatever you want to. But the reason I said what I said was. You mentioned logic, and logic is something that's a bit obtuse to a good 56% of the population, but we have been steadily progressing in that direction, which what I'm talking about is the wussification of America. I'm going to say it. The female brain does not operate on male logic. It just doesn't. Therein lies the problem.
All right. So I happen to know a lot about the brain, and I happen to know a lot about gender differences and the science behind them. And there are legitimate differences between the male and the female brain. One of them is there's the left and right hemispheres of the brain are connected by one channel of nerves. And in the male brain, it's smaller than in the female brain, which means the female brain can more easily use the left and right hemisphere of the brain at the same time. Now, men are still capable of doing it, but what it means is a female brain can think and feel simultaneously more easily than a man can. So the male brain tends to either think or feel, and if we're going to have a logical discussion and emotion comes up, we have to stop with logic and deal with this weird emotion thing. Right.
Now, Jeff, I've got to take a break. Will you hold on for just a moment? Do I have you a little bit longer?
You bet.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. If you want, I'm going to leave the phone lines on in the chat room, so South Carolina, you and Jeff and Alabama, you guys can have continue the conversation. I'm going to go pay some bills. I'll be right back.
All right, are we still here?
Alabama. Yeah.
Cool. Alabama. So tell me a little bit more about what your thoughts on what those differences mean between the male and female brain. And I love your courage for throwing that out there with a female host.
Well, I mean, the thing that I'm looking at is the fact that Dr. Richard Gilliam did a study concerning why so many males were being expelled from school, and particularly African American males, and he came up with the fact that number one, the language skills of young boys were not as honed as females, young females of the same age. So they were at a disadvantage.
You bet.
And
that's just childhood development.
Yeah, everything that is there in a classroom, particularly today's classroom, screens a femininity. So it's similar to putting a young male child in a hostile environment, because when the teacher tells him, when his testosterone-infused body wants to defend his territory, the teacher is telling him, use your words, use your words, use your words. How can he use his words if his brain hasn't, you know, gotten to the point where it can even, you know, communicate that way?
Yeah, great point.
But
I have a 10-year-old, and when he was 3 or 4, we were looking at a private school. We couldn't end up affording it in the end. But I was really fascinated by one of the things they said is they get 3 recesses a day. It was a boys-only school, and they get 3 recesses a day exactly because of what you talked about. They said young boys are not the same as young girls.
No, no. And listen, I have 4 older sisters and 5 younger brothers, and I've got 4 daughters, okay? So I have been surrounded all of my life by estrogen. So it's really interesting to watch it, and in the last, probably in the last 10 years, you know, the differences in gender and the way we think and way we think have been really, really a point of issue for me, and even to the point to where I brought it up in a couple organizations with early childhood education. And it has been met with opposition because I stated one time in a forum, I was on a panel of 12 people, and we had about 700 people in the audience, and I made the comment that a woman cannot effectively raise a male child. And
oh boy, you're a courageous man.
And you know what happened.
Sure, it's good that you're still with us.
Yeah. And after you know, there was some a question from one of the educators on the panel, and she was highly offended. Matter of fact, she said, "Mr. Williams, I'm very offended by what you just said." You know, I said, "Well, let me explain what I just said." And I said, for those that have sensitive ears, I apologize ahead of time. But I said, how is a mother going to explain when her little son wakes up at 12 or 13 years old and his underwear is soaking wet because he's had a wet dream? How does he explain that? How does she explain that, rather? How can she say, okay, what happened and how's she going to explain it? When, number one, although she may be able to do it, but it's kind of like reading a book on how to drive a car and doing it. And
so you feel the same then about a man raising a female?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh definitely, definitely, definitely. And I have one son, and I have 4 daughters, and raising them was quite a bit different. Quite a bit different. The relationship that I have with my son is different from the relationship that I have with my daughters. In the sense that I can deal with the estrogen in one way, I have to deal with the testosterone in a totally different way. Because when he gets his butt up on his shoulders, you know, I have to make sure that he knows that I'm the alpha dog, that I'm the alpha male in the household. And he needs to understand that. Now, with my daughters, I have to do the same thing, but I take a little bit different approach. So And I think what's happened is, in an effort to try to appease to the feminine, feminists in our society, we have gone too far to the feminine side, even to the point of it has been a very long time since I've seen a show that even treats a man with some type of some type of respect, in the sense that they make dads look very, very stupid and basically useless in our society. So, and that's just from my novice observation.
Yeah, I get some of the points you're making. I don't agree with the how far you're taking it. I don't think it's as extreme as that. You know, I can see some of the points you're making. But, you know, I think if you go back, you know, 40, 50, 60 years, the man in most households had almost nothing to do with anything other than heavy-handed, over-the-top discipline. There wasn't open, honest discussions about puberty that they were having with their sons. They didn't have that talk. You know, they had to talk about maybe the birds and the bees, and then that's it, don't bring it up again. You know, so there's a middle ground there that I think you can have open, honest conversations about what's going on, which is a move towards maybe feminization, as you would put it, but I think it's still a positive thing. But it doesn't have to go to the extreme of now there is no discipline in the household.
Right. But even with that, you know, about the birds and the bees, I had a very, very frank and open conversation. I'm 48 years old, and the conversation I must have had when I was about 10 or 11 years old with my dad and my uncles. And they everything I needed to know and wanted to know, and some stuff I didn't want to know, they told me. And I'm really having an issue at you know, certain things, when I wonder if the whole birds and the bees thing was kind of generated by the media artificially.
Well, I think you're coming from your personal experience. You know, we would have to come up with some way to agree on happening, because that wasn't my experience growing up. So.
Well, there was a real opposition to teaching sex education in the schools down here. Now you got to understand now.
But to be fair, there was also opposition to teaching it at home, right? It wasn't just in the schools.
I'm from South Carolina, so we had a little bit different outlook on things down here. I was born in Ohio. And I was raised down here. I've been around the world a couple of times. So, they would teach you, you know, they would teach you about. I guess I came out of a unique background. So,
well, maybe
where are you from, sir?
I was in my earlier days. I was in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
When my father was not teaching me those things, I lived in Wisconsin.
I learned it
like most people that had, you know, Christian upbringing. You just don't talk about it.
Now, to be honest with you, I ran into a few guys like that when I was in the Marine Corps, you know, and didn't know,
And I don't think my case is uncommon, so...
Yeah.
You know, the wussification of America, you know, it's a topic I know a lot about. It's, you know, self-esteem building in children is the problem that's going on is not that it's bad to build self-esteem in children. That is a good thing. The problem that's happening is that some of the attempts at building self-esteem are not grounded in good understanding of what self-esteem is. For example,
we can agree with that 100%.
Yeah, so not keeping score in Little League is not a mechanism for building self-esteem. It just builds delusional kids, right? But the notion of building self-esteem in children is a good idea. We just need to be smarter, better educated on how we do it.
Right. and we can agree on that one.
Yeah, you bet.
Every bit of self-esteem that I had in myself when I went to Parris Island for Marine Corps boot camp was gone within a week. But by the time I left Parris Island, I had more self-esteem than my whole high school graduating class.
What are you guys talking about? There you, I see you laughing.
We've been all over
and
the
you
place.
All laugh.
Hey, Tracy, I like this guy. He's pretty cool. I can hold a conversation with him.
Excellent. Yeah, and, you know, you missed this the story of the gentleman talking about getting up in front of a room full of educators and saying that I'll let you use the words because that was awesome.
Oh, I told a room full of well, a bunch of women that a woman cannot effectively raise a male child.
That's true.
Yeah,
they can raise them and they can be effective at raising them, but it's not as effective as having a man. You know, we've talked about that before, Jeff. We've talked about that a lot because you know, as you can tell, I'm a conservative, old fashioned kind of kid, and I think that only a man can tell a boy how to be a man, because I never know what it is to be a man because I've never been one.
Well, I was raised by a single mom, so.
Me too.
You know, I think that there's still a lot of things that they can do effectively. And, you know, my father was around, you know, had a good relationship with him, but he didn't really participate in things like, you know, birds and bees discussions or, you know, the things that only a man could help you understand, perhaps. I think my mom did a fairly good job of helping me understand them. So, you know, it's one of those, like we mentioned earlier, there's a difference between the ideal and the practical.
Hey,
in an ideal world, what's that?
Go ahead.
In the ideal world, we'd all have, you know, a great male role model, a great female role model. They don't necessarily, I think, in reality, have to be the parent. But I think we need good male-female role models in our life. I think men need good female role models as much as they need a male role model.
No, I agree with you. We're not taking away from the female because she's important.
Yeah.
But I see it, the erosion in the African American community more so than I do into mainstream areas.
Huge
and because
so. Yeah.
of the lacking of it. Because see, if you have more, it's one thing to have a father around and have men around, but when you erode most men around you as role models, so even if they're there, they're non-existent. It's kind of hard to raise a man.
Yeah. No doubt.
Especially when you've never seen one. See, if your mother had a father, then she knew what a man should be. But if you go generationally and there has not been a father in generations, how do you know who a man is?
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, unfortunately, the African-American culture, I think largely because of the socioeconomic realities, are dealing with major crises in that area.
Yeah. So when we talk about the male and the man and the importance of it, you know, you just have to look at, you know, okay, you there's one or two, you know, you get divorced. My dad was never there. Birds and bees, it happens. You know, divorce, I'm out. Not going to face that anymore. Fine. But you go four, five, six, seven generations, and you're far removed from a male, and you're trying to raise a man, and no one's seen a man. You've seen males, but you haven't seen men. You have a problem.
Yeah, when you have, you know, the role models they have are 40-year-old men who want to, you know, go clubbing every night. You know,
we want to bust a say.
Yeah.
And that 40-year-old man still hasn't had a male role model. That's what I'm saying. We got 40-year-old men, 40-plus-year-old men, playing video games in the basement, making kids like he's 10 or 15 years old, and he doesn't know what a man is because his father was not there.
Yeah, agreed.
It,
can
it
we go back
down.
To something you mentioned
sure,
earlier?
Sure, you can go anywhere you want to. We're not.
About closing the border.
Sure.
Because to me, around immigration, that is a topic that I think needs to be more national debate and discussion about it. Because, you know, I see a lot of push. We need to close the border. And I'm of the belief that it's a bit of a fantasy that we're going to be able to close the border. I just don't – if you look at history, you know, China tried to close their border. They built the Great Wall. It didn't work. Right? I think to your points earlier around, you know, legalization – you know, workers, worker permits, you know, that's the way you deal with immigration. The notion that we're going to be able to build some magic fence and stop people from coming in, you know, humans are too clever. They're going to find a way around. They'll take boats. They're going to find a way around. I think what the better way to handle it is when they get here, there's no job for them, then they don't come. Right. So if you then it's about. I think I would rather see the money spent on, you know, enforcing, you know, making sure your employees have a work permit, you know, or legal to work. I think we would, you know, instead of spending billions and billions of dollars that we're talking about, I mean, really tens of billions or more, on securing a border that is not going to get secured. You know, when in history has any border between any countries been able to been shut down like there's some magic fence that they can't get through? I just don't think it's realistic.
Hey, Tracy.
There's a real dual purpose in securing the border, and one of those is to ensure that we can control who comes in and who does not come in. The second one is to deal with, to pose up, you know, the flow of terrorists into the country. That's the other one. So.
Yeah, but again, you know, what are the chances we're going to build a fence across the entire border? And, I mean, what would it cost? How much are we willing to spend on that endeavor? And even if we did that, you know, from the Pacific to the Gulf, there's some impenetrable wall. Even if we did that, would they just take a boat? I mean, it's not. We've never been successful in the history of the human race at building a border between two countries.
Go ahead, Alex.
Good afternoon, Tracy.
Good afternoon.
I have to strongly disagree with your guest.
I do too.
And you don't necessarily have to build a fence. I mean, we have the technology today to do it relatively cheaply for less than $1 billion, probably, you know, even less than $100 million. This is probably the only instance I agree with using the drone technology on a U.S. soil, but using drones and selective boots on the ground covers far more area and is far cheaper. And so, yes, you can effectively do it with the technology that we have today to secure a border. The issue is that we don't want to. There's too many reasons why not to, because there's different businesses that are pressuring congressmen not to close the borders, because there's just a lot of businesses that depend on that cheap labor, especially in construction, landscaping, fabrics, textile industry, clothing, how it's made. There's just a lot of industries that it supports, and so that's the real reason why it's not, why the border will likely never be closed. It's because of the lobbying interest in government in government, and has nothing to do with the practicality of it. It could be done tomorrow if we really wanted to.
And let me throw this into the mix too. I'm not quite sure I'm happy with the drone syndrome, but. But I will say this, severity of coming across the border, of getting caught, you know, securing the borders is, you know, if you hire an illegal and it is known, the severity of penalty for that person being caught working is not worth the risk. And the same thing is if you get caught coming across the border and severity of crime. You know, it's the same thing with, you know, I say the same thing with rape. You know, if the severity of the crime and domestic violence is as crucial, where it's not worth the risk, more people will not do it. There's a lot of people not stealing in China when you start cutting off limbs.
Hey, Tracy, you know,
yeah.
I guess you supported Mitt Romney because, you know, with that E-Verify, you know, nonsense. You're making business owners into, you're turning them into the law enforcement branch of government, and which is just wrong. That's not what I think it's unconstitutional, but it's definitely, and if it's not, it's definitely way outside of the intentions.
When you say
for the liberty of people. and their own enterprise.
But I mean, comment. You can't get. I mean, when you say that, I mean, e-registering or, and I'm not saying e-registering. I'm saying they need to go and register their family. There needs to be a census taken. We need to know when you take the census every 10 years. You need to know who's legal and who's not legal in America. If we can, we can count them at 11 million, and we're still spending federal dollars on them. It goes against our own economy. And right now, these people need to have a pathway to citizenship. But we need to understand that they can't take the shortcut when we made the people from Vietnam take the long way around. The people from Korea took the long way around. And the people from Haiti, they take the long way around. The people from Cuba take the long way around. But if you come in one way, it's okay. It can't be okay anymore.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, I don't agree with making employers responsible for checking the immigration status.
All they have to do is ask for a social security. No, because when I go to Alex, when I go to work, when you go get it is mandatory that I show you my driver's license and my social security card. You must have it.
No, it's not. I mean, I do work all the time, and
that's because you're a contractor.
I never show them a social security number, not even a tax ID. You know, so that's not necessary, and it didn't.
Then they're all going to jail down there in Florida, where you are.
See that? You know, I get your point. The problem is, employers are already doing a whole host of things that are actually significantly more difficult than what's being suggested with, you know, with making sure they're a legal citizen, or at least legal to work. You know, employers are supposed to collect taxes, or at least report that they're paying people. That's more work than what we're talking about here.
I mean, just verifying that you have a license, a Social Security card, and you're a documented worker, that's not rocket science. You make a copy on the copy machine. Hello.
Yeah, I don't think it's hard to do. But, you know,
you
I opened up
the can of worms
with the border thing here.
So what'd you say? What'd you say, Jeff?
Well, open up a can of worms with the border thing here.
Yeah, you
did. You know, to circle it back to what we were talking about earlier with, you know, how do we make decisions? You know, why are these such divisive issues in our country? Why is it so hard to get consensus or agreement around issues? And, you know, this is, to me, a great conversation, a great example, a great model of how you do that. Because there's not agreement that we can bring up a whole host of issues that we disagree on strongly. And, you know, maybe we're able to persuade one another. But what's required for that to happen? Go ahead.
Give us your website.
The website for the book is called neverenoughnation.com.
Okay.
And book's available on Amazon or Kindle. The quick plug on that is if you're looking to change your physical health, you're looking to lose weight, you're looking to manage your money differently, or, you know, have a lower level of stress in life, it all comes down to, you know, at the core of the discussion we've been having here today. You know,
okay.
Because we do it internally. When we decide what to eat, when we decide what to spend, we have this internal debate between our logic and our emotion. And even though logically we know what to do, emotion wins. And you need to learn how to change that game.
So, if I read your book, I can lose the 46 pounds I need to lose? Is that what you're saying?
You bet.
If that's the case, your publicist is in big trouble for not sending me the book.
I'll be happy to send you one. Here's the thing, though, because I don't. Here's the problem for me in marketing is this: most books out there market quick fix. You know, read my book and everything will be wonderful. Lose 30 pounds in 30 days. The marketing for my book is this: read the book, read it again. In 2 or 3 months, 4 months from now, read it again. Apply the roadmap I've laid out in there. It's not complicated. And if you do that, and then probably read one or two other books I recommend in it, in a couple of years, you're going to be very different. But America has been conditioned to have everything be quick fix, and that's not the way the human brain works. Deep change is a gradual, consistent process. And, you know, crash dieting is not going to get you there. So my book shows you how to do it, but I don't want to deceive listeners into thinking it's some quick fix. And that's why, you know, I'm not in the same category with so many of the other fad diet books out there, because it's not what it is. This is about psychology and human behavior. It's why I can link, you know, money, stress, food, guns, immigration, gay rights, because at the core, it's how we make decisions as human beings. And that's what people need to learn.
your book can be found online as well as anywhere books are sold, Barnes & Noble, all those are just on Amazon.
On Amazon right now, you can get it through the other booksellers, but it's a little less direct path.
Okay.
The easiest way is Amazon. It's headed into the bookstores, but we just came out a month ago.
Tell us a little bit about your background, because I haven't done that. I didn't do that to you. I didn't make you spill all that.
I have a bizarre background. So I have a degree in mechanical engineering, which you can see I use on a daily basis.
Yes.
And then I went into the IT field my first 6 years out of school. I'm 45 years old. And so for the last 18 years, I've been in the personal and professional growth field. So I spend my days either promoting my book or talking to people around conversations like this. Most of the time I'm in companies talking about management, leadership, getting along with coworkers, productivity, diversity, and really helping people understand, you know, here's what drives your decision-making. You've got to crawl into the depths of that to understand it, or you're not going to be able to change it. I live in Minneapolis, wife of 16 years, 10-year-old boy, four cats and a dog.
And who runs the house, the wife or the cats and the dog?
It's sad. The dog. The dog has a lot of sway around here. Here's one spoiled dog. It's a dog's
just
life
checking.
In this house, let me tell you.
Just checking. I know my house, the dog runs the so I just want to see if your house is different than mine. Jeff, I want to thank you because we're here every day, and if we can ever do anything to assist you or if you just want to chime in one day, we do this way pretty much every day.
Well, I think
because
it's a great conversation.
So many issues.
You know, I've listened to a lot of shows like this, and, you know, the callers that you have that get on the line, you know, have opinions, but they're willing to have an intelligent conversation, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, we do. We have some good conversations here, and the issues are so rising, and people do need to learn. I'm going to have you back, and we're just going to just shape it around. People need to learn how to critically think.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to go deeper into the psychology of decision making.
Yeah, people need to learn that because I watch people get brainwashed and get emotionally mobilized into decisions every day.
Absolutely. It's called
and
campaigns.
You saw that, right? You read right through that.
Yeah.
And I'm having so much problem in trying to get people to stop and say, don't get mobilized. Motivate yourself to do what's right for you. Not because it's for me, but it's for you.
Yeah, democracies work best when you have informed, good critical thinking, citizens. When you have people that are robots programmed by advertising, it doesn't work as well.
My co-host just walked in the door. Have you heard that before, Jeff?
Absolutely.
Have I not said that ongoing?
Oh, absolutely.
So Jeff, this guy on the phone, I never talked to before in my life, and he said the same thing I just said.
We must both be brilliant.
We are. The world is. I told you I'm never wrong. Jeff, before I let you go, because I may have missed this conversation, but before I let you go, you talked about the difference between men and women a few minutes ago.
Yep.
Women are always right, right?
Yeah. So says, I've been married for 17 years, so yes.
Just checking, because I was going to email your wife if you did. So how do women and men cohabitate when women are always right and we are truly emotional decision makers?
Well, the fantasy is that men are not emotional decision makers. We are just as much. And, you know, there's another fantasy that says women feel more emotions than men. They don't. What happens is there's more social permission for women to be aware of what's going on emotionally. Men have just as much going on. They're just in denial about it. And so, you know, the path to happy marriages, happy relationships in general, I mean, that would be another great show discussion all by itself. But at the core, we have seven rules in our book. There's seven rules of this internal decision-making process, and one of them says, be right about the right things. Right? Nobody likes to be wrong. Everyone wants to be right. But, to convince somebody to change their mind by saying, look, here's the deal, you're wrong about what you believe. This conversation's not really now, it's not a conversation now, it's just a battle. You know, it's your point earlier around tolerance. It's, honoring somebody's position. My wife is always right because she doesn't believe something she thinks is wrong. And because I honor and respect that, we can still disagree and have discussions, but I'm not coming from a place of you're wrong. Let me convince you why. That argument never wins. You know. But that's a bigger conversation around relationship success.
Well, listen, I will be back in touch with you so we can do this again. I'm going to call your media company and tell them that I want your book because I want to read it.
Fantastic. They've got a bunch of copies. Get on them, have them send you one.
I will do that. I'll make sure he sends me one. Thank you so much. Please give out the information so people can go and find your book and go find your website.
NeverEnoughNation.com is the website, or go up on Amazon, search for the same title, and you can get it in Kindle or paperback edition. If you order paperback, shows up at your doorstep in a couple of days. It's an amazing time to be alive.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate it.
I really enjoyed being up. Thanks for having me.
I enjoyed having you on. Really, I did. Thanks a lot for your time. And listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600 Jefferson Studios. South Carolina's on the phone. Alex is on the phone. And I want to thank Jeff for coming on with me. Again, the name of his book is Never Enough Nation. It's Jeff Gaines, G-A-I-N-E-S. You can find him at NeverEnoughNation.com. We'll see you on the other side.
WSOM News. The Girard City Council has voted to strengthen its ordinances that deal with sexually oriented businesses. The city's law director says the newly updated ordinances bring the city into line with other municipalities around the state. The ordinance added cabarets and adult motels to its regulations. State Attorney General Mike DeWine says the DNA of a man accused of imprisoning three women in a Cleveland house for about a decade is not linked to other crimes through a national database. Investigators say Ariel Castro kidnapped the women and held them for a decade, during which he sexually assaulted them numerous times. And a gay teacher challenging her firing by an Ohio Catholic school says the local Union for Catholic Educators has decided not to proceed with her complaint. Carla Hale says the grievance committee for the Central Ohio Association of Catholic Educators is not supporting her effort. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
The Valley's Medical Guide is coming to a Walgreens near you. This medical guide is packed with useful health tips and a local physician's listing. Enter to win a $500 American Express card. Pick up your free copy at a local participating Walgreens pharmacy. Stop by a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Lawrence, and Mercer counties. Plus, a chance to win a $500 American Express card. Now at Walgreens, accepting most Express Scripts plans.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Chances are your air conditioner isn't going to quit working between 8 and 5 on a weekday. Ainsley Heating and Cooling thinks you shouldn't pay more when your air conditioner breaks after 5 p.m., day or night, even weekend. The Ainsley Group doesn't charge unnecessary fees. Maybe that's why they're welcome in more homes in northeastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania than any other contractor. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling, 330-637-1911 or ainsleyhtg.com.
There, I fixed it.
What is that?
It's our new entertainment center.
It's 2x4s and cinder blocks.
I'm going to post a picture. Go stand by it.
These DVDs are really wedged in here.
No, don't touch it.
For high-end solid wood products, trust the Amish craftsmanship of Weaver's Furniture. Custom orders are available. Just stop by the Weaver's Furniture Showroom at 4537 Gates Road, Middlefield, Ohio. For store hours and more, call Weaver's Furniture 440-693-4685.
The Druschel Financial Report on News Talk 600, Saturdays at 8:30. Bob Druschel discusses investment strategies for today's fast-moving financial markets. That's Saturdays at 8:30 on News Talk 600, WSOM.
At the Law Office of J.M. Shade, we focus on estate planning for the elderly and people with special needs. We'll help you find a way to pay for long-term health care, write your will, and set up a trust to avoid probate. Estate planning is essential for everyone. Don't delay and leave your family to deal with the stress after you're gone. Show them you care. Call us today, 866-606-6187. That's 866-606-6187. JMSElderLaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
At News Talk 600, business is good, and we're growing again. We're looking for a new sales representative to join our team. If your current job has limited potential, then you need to schedule a personal interview today. Here's what some of our representatives have to say about a selling career in radio.
I love my job. I'm great at what I do because I believe in my product. We have the top-rated radio stations in the market, and I'm proud to introduce those radio stations to my clients.
I love going out and talking to new people, being able to create new ideas for them. Just so much fun to be part of that and knowing that I was an asset to their business.
Working in radio is a blast. We get to be a part of community events, work on creative campaigns for my clients. I believe in my product.
Send your resume now to brad.marshall@cumulus.com. We're an equal opportunity employer.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Jeff is in the studio. South Carolina's on the phone. Alex is on the phone. And I want to thank Jeff Gaines for coming on with me again. It's a pleasure to have him, and we'll do that, have him back again.
Can't lose with nobody named Jeff.
Oh, sure. What do you know? Hey, I gotta go back to AP.
They're going crazy, man. They're going crazy.
I gotta go back to AP. Can y'all please tell me? Is there a list that we have of what's going on now? With there is. Let me look at this. Listen to this. We've got AP. You got
to turn them up, right?
No, you got the Department of Justice raid on Associated Press. You have the IRS. You got Benghazi.
Gate.
Are they all Gates?
All Gates.
They're not all Gates, Jeff.
All Gates.
They're not all Gates. Why do people do that?
Because that's what they are.
The only reason why they were Gates because it was Watergate.
That's right. So now you got Benghazi Gate.
You got
SEAL Team 6 Gate. You got AP Gate. You got IRS Gate.
These are not all Gates.
They're all Gates. They're all Gates. Corruption, and they're all pointing back.
But they're not all Gates, Jeff.
Okay.
They always got the... Why are you following after Watergate? They're not Watergate. They're not Gates. They had Gates. Didn't they have Gates during the
whenever you
Bush
do anything
Gates.
And try to cover it up, it's a gate. Watergate was named after what? The name of the hotel was named
Watergate, wasn't it?
The whole thing, Watergate and the hotel complex.
So it was a place called Watergate.
Mm-hmm.
So why is not everything a gate? This IRS gate, not IRS gate.
IRS gate.
No. South Carolina?
Ask South Carolina. He'll tell you.
He don't know. He's trying to
he
go
do
collect
know.
Rent. No, he don't. He out trying to collect rent.
It's Watergate. It's named after the Watergate Hotel because of the Watergate break-in back in 73.
Okay, so why we got to call everything a gate after the Watergate? This has nothing to do with a hotel called Gate.
When it was Clinton, it was a Winky Gate.
It's a scandal.
And he just didn't know it because he tried to cover it up, you see.
Well, he didn't have sexual relations with the gate.
The dress said different.
Now, listen.
No, that's Oscar Mayer gate.
Listen here.
Whoa.
Listen here. Let me y'all something.
That's nasty gate.
I meant to tell y'all something this yesterday, and I forgot. Do you all understand what it takes to hold on to a nasty dress? just in case.
I wasn't on the radio
when Bill had his winky, but I just want you to understand who holds on to a dress in a Ziploc bag that's nasty. It wasn't a wedding gown.
Well, she could have done better than that. All she had to do is get pregnant. She could have held on to the baby.
Oh, now pregnant, she'd have been set.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know the inquirer said that Bill's got a black, you know, had a black baby down there.
Oh, but are you surprised by that?
Not a bit.
He's the first black president. Might as well have
a black kid.
Yeah, might as well have a little black baby now.
You are sick. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I want to thank all of our listeners out there, and thank you for listening and hanging out with us and sending me information. I'm going to start doing a segment on microlending in the United States, and so I'm working on that right now. So I want to thank everyone. Thank you for calling in and writing me about that. So right now they're having a White House briefing. You know, you talked about this young man yesterday. His name is Carney.
Jay Carney.
Carney's having a real big problem. He's having a, you know, I'd quit.
He can't quit because he's a believer.
He's a believer of what?
He's a believer. He's going to go down with the ship. He'll go down with the ship. He doesn't care.
Turn those down, Jack, for me.
Okay.
He's going to go down with the ship.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex, you a little libertarian? How did you become a libertarian raised on the east side of Youngstown going to East High School?
How did I go to South High School and become a conservative? You know, I was raised.
Education, that's how. Education.
No, Alex, because you're a little libertarian. You're in libertarian nowhere in his family. They didn't even know how to spell libertarian.
You know, but you also know that I've always been a, you know, independent thinker. I don't follow the crowd. So, you know, if everybody else is doing it, then it means, you know, if everybody's thinking the same way, then it means nobody's thinking. So the only way you avoid that is with the libertarian mind. Give everybody their freedom. And you know, society comes out best that way.
You know what? The IRS is in trouble. You think they're going to ease up on people? Where's Jim Trafficking at right now?
I'm looking for him.
Because the IRS told pro-life organizations it had to promote abortion?
Yeah, of course. Of course it did. I don't know why he is so bent on killing kids and making it so easy for you to kill your child. Why are they doing this?
Jeff, he doesn't know anything.
It's not about that he doesn't know. He's president of the United States of America. He needs to know something.
He's golfing.
Well, that's fine.
And he's throwing parties at the State House. You know, y'all complained about the parties. Y'all complained about the golf. So he's not doing none of this. Who's doing this for him?
I hear you. Yeah, and they're making sure that that's happening. Unless what's her name? What's the real president's name? The female?
Valerie Jarrett.
Valerie Jarrett. Unless it's Valerie Jett, just hates kids. I don't know whether she has kids.
Oh, she ain't got time for kids. What else is going on out here? Because there's a lot of stuff.
Can I ask y'all something, Tracy?
Sure, you can ask anything. I'm having a good day.
Did you hear about, you know, the company that made the gun, they claim it's the first successful 3D printed gun?
Yeah, was it Youngstown?
The Texas-based company.
Okay.
And they put the blueprints out, you know, for anybody to, you know, so they can print a gun and they'd be able to, you know, make a gun. Well, the State Department, U.S. State Department, they basically threatened them to take those blueprints off their website, you know. And it's not getting a whole lot of press. This happened last week, but I think it's a big deal. I mean, you know, it's the freedom. I think it violates at least our first two amendments, you know, for freedom of speech and our right to bear arms,
well,
you know. But
so, Alex, that is true.
I
read
something, but they didn't. It wasn't confirmed.
Yeah, they took they didn't charge him with anything, but they pretty much just asked him to take the blueprints down off the company website because he was giving it away, you know, which I think is a great thing. That's how you combat these universal background checks that they want to do, which is just a national registry of gun owners so that they can come confiscate them later. But that's the way you combat it, you know, with technology, where then, okay, well, I won't need a background check because I'll just pick out my printer and print my next gun. I'll print my AR-15. I'll print my 9mm or whatever you need. That's what we need to do.
Well, I got a question for you. Yes, Arthur.
Have you ever filed for 501c3 or C4?
No, but they tell me it is a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. But here's the other thing. You do know that information, as long as it's in process of being filed, it's all confidential.
Right.
Well, a good bit of that information was passed along to third parties, like information from the Koch brothers about they passed along who their donors were, personal finance information to third parties, and so on and so forth.
Are you serious?
I'm serious as a heart attack. This thing goes deeper than what anybody thought before. Before they were talking about a low level individual from Cincinnati. No, this thing goes farther up the chain.
Why is everything happening in Ohio?
Well, I want to know is why are all the shoes falling at one time? This is amazing. I've never seen so many scandals happened in such a short period of time in an administration.
But let me ask this. All this stuff coming out all of a sudden, and there are multiple scandals. But tell me, what in the world made Eric Holder go after AP? I mean, you know, they already had their
friends. They had a leak.
What leak?
They had a leak that somebody was allowing information like the names of the people that had not been able to testify in Benghazi and all these other things. And they were trying to find out who released that link. And they made sure that they found it.
And AP was not going to give up their sources. So they said, fine, we'll get the sources ourselves. It's a national security issue. So they went in and they seized it.
Yes, they did.
Are y'all trying to get Obama impeached or something? I mean, why do y'all?
Well, here's the thing, man. They say it themselves, there, Alex. You know the white man ain't gonna let you get so big. So Obama, he got one. We got one election under his belt. Boy, you got a little bit too powerful right now. We're gonna have to take you down. I bet when it's all said and done, the DNC put this whole thing in motion because they can't control the man.
I would not be surprised by, but my question is, somebody going back to AP, Jeff, go back to what leak? Who had the leak? AP had the leak? Or
they believe that AP leaked the story and gave some names to some people.
What story?
I'm trying to figure out which story they're talking about. I think it had to do with Benghazi and the people that, yeah.
It's the other way around. There was a leak. There was a leak in the Department of Defense.
Right.
One of the departments, and it leaked out to AP. They had the story. They called to confirm it. They asked, or the Department of Justice, or one of the departments asked them not to say anything about it. And after it was all said and done, then they came back, the Department of Justice came back and said that we want to know who this person was, who gave this information up, and AP refused. Now, if they had just pulled the information on that one reporter, that would have been fine, you know. But they pulled the entire phone records, all the phone records from AP. And what AP is saying is there were confidential conversations that did not pertain to that particular story. The Department of Justice has all of them. They know the, sources. They have confidential informants. They know all of that. That's where the rub is. Now the Department of Justice knows everything that AP has done.
If anybody wants to know what AP is the Associated Press. And Associated Press, it actually covers. Is your mic up?
It was.
Okay. The Associated Press actually is one of the largest wire news sources across the country.
Across the world.
Well, across the world, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a secret indictment or a secret siege. This was not, because they said they went at night. I mean, this was done like, you know, they passed bills. This was done in the cloak of the evening when no one knew and no one was there. And they had a warrant to go in.
They did have a warrant.
I don't know. They had to have something. How do you just walk into somebody else's building?
Eric Holder needs to be fired immediately.
Eminent domain.
Hold on. Immediately? He's not going
to
get.
Yeah, whether he does get or not, that's that. That's
a conflict of interest. And to make sure that the investigation was seen as independent, I recuse myself from this matter. We'll get to you exactly when that happened. It was early on in the investigation. This matter has therefore, as thereafter, been conducted by the U.S. Attorney here in Washington, D.C., under the supervision of the Deputy Attorney General. The Deputy Attorney General would have been the one who ultimately had to authorize the subpoena that went to the AP. Now, I'm not familiar with all that went into the formulation of the subpoena. I was recused from that matter, but I'm confident that the people who are involved in this investigation, who I know for a great many years and who I've worked with for a great many years, followed all of the appropriate Justice Department regulations and did things according to DOJ rules. So I'm sure that might
be. Do you understand why people in the news gathering business such as us would find this trouble?
Well, you know, I don't know all that went into the formulation of the subpoena. This was a very serious leak, and a very, very serious leak. I've been a prosecutor since 1976, and I have to say that this is among, if not the most serious, it is within the top two or three most serious leaks that I've ever seen. It put the American people at risk, and that is not hyperbole. It put the American people at risk. And trying to determine who was responsible for that, I think, required very aggressive action. And as I said, I'm sure that the subpoena, as formulated, based on the people that I know, I don't know about the facts, but based on the people I know, I think that that subpoena was done in conformance with DOJ regs.
Mr. Attorney General, the AP says that it found out about this after the fact, after the records were already taken. Why was no attempt made to seek the AP's voluntary cooperation?
Again, you're getting into matters that are beyond my knowledge. I was recused in the matter, so I don't know.
Are you comfortable with that approach? Because ordinarily, wouldn't protocol require that you would try to approach for voluntary cooperation?
Well, I don't know what the circumstances were here, and so, you know, how things are done in a particular investigation have to be dictated by the facts, and I frankly don't have the knowledge of those facts.
I think the real question here, the underlying question, is the policy of the administration when it comes to the ability of the media to cover the news. And I think the question for you is, given the fact that this news organization was not given an opportunity to try to quash this in court, as has been precedent, it leaves us in the position of wondering whether the administration has somehow decided policy-wise that it's kind of going to go after us.
Well, that is certainly not, I mean, I can talk about policy. That is certainly not the policy of this administration. If you will remember, in 2009, when I was going through my confirmation hearings, I testified in favor of a reporter shield law. We actually, as an administration, took a position in favor of such a law. Didn't get the necessary support up on the Hill. It is something this administration still thinks would be appropriate. We've investigated cases on the basis of the facts, not as a result of a policy to get the press or to do anything of that nature. The facts and the law have dictated our actions in that regard.
Mr. Attorney General, you said that it's not hyperbole that this put American lives at risk. That the underlying investigation was basically being run with the knowledge and with the hand of the U.S. government. Why was there any risk to Americans when that information came out?
Well, I can't answer that question.
Can you elaborate on your decision to accuse yourself and when you did that?
Towards the beginning of the investigation, and perhaps we can get for you the exact date. I don't know when that was. But as I said, it was because I was one of the people who had knowledge of this matter. I have frequent contact with the media and try to make sure that this investigation was seen as one that was independent, and to avoid even the possibility of an appearance of a conflict, I made the determination to recuse myself.
Are you authorized from the Mr. Attorney General?
On the IRS controversy, is there any concern that criminal laws have been broken? And if so, have you ordered an investigation?
I have ordered an investigation to be begun. The FBI is coordinating with the Justice Department to see if any laws were broken in connection with those matters related to the IRS. Those were, I think, as everyone can agree, if not criminal, they were certainly outrageous and unacceptable, but we are examining the facts to see if there were criminal violations.
When did you order that?
4/5.
Are you also recused from the Stuxnet investigation out of Maryland?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Holder, with the IRS and AP situation, a lot of Americans say they don't trust the administration right now. What can you say to them that you can ensure that they should trust all of you?
Well, to the extent that we have determined that actors in government have gone beyond what they were supposed to do, broken regulations, broken rules, broken the law, we have prosecuted people. We have held people accountable. We have tried to do things according to the rules. There are going to be people occasionally who will not do so. It is then incumbent upon us who have enforcement responsibilities to make sure that we hold those people accountable, and I think our record shows that over the last 4.5 years we have.
Hey, we're here, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. It's a live press conference going on with Attorney General Eric Holder. And I want to, South Carolina, AJ, your mics are on, Jeff. Why did he recuse himself?
Because he's the one that told them to do it, in my humble opinion. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. These people are bad. They were very bad.
I mean, think about this. What made, they said they, there was a leak. And so the leak came out and it got to the press. It was going to put American lives in danger. Now, this is the story as you said it.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Right.
And so this,
like, they care about that.
So they went straight to the press to put American lives in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't, instead of, and they called to verify the information, which found out about the leak. And it was a very, very high level leak. So if that be the case, then you don't call AP, say, listen, when you don't give me your information, you just take a subpoena, you go into AP, and you take out all of the phone records out of there so that you can find out where the leak is?
Mm. That's what they're doing. it's unexplainable, this is. And to tell you the truth, I don't know why people insist. Now, see, we might come up on this and find out that they were completely justified in what they were doing by one reason or another. But that's going to take us off of Benghazi, and it's going to make people think that Benghazi is the same as everything else. Okay? It's nothing to it. When they put that man up there to die.
But they've got, no. Before you go to Benghazi, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all these distractions out right now. I mean,
mm-hmm.
We've got IRS, you've got AP now, and you've got Benghazi.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else out there that I'm not climbing?
South Carolina Six.
Who? See, no one's hearing about Steel Team 6. Ain't nobody talking about
that. Oh, yes, they are.
No, only on Fox News. They ain't talking about Steel Team 6.
Oh, yes, they are. News is not going to talk about it. But it's in certain articles and stuff on.
But you got to go on. But you got to go online. But as far as them hitting the mainstream media, going on CBS, your broadcasting networks and your cable networks, outside of Fox, you're not hearing of this. And then
that's true.
So you got to be honest. You got to realize what the distraction is right now. Now, this president is a media friendly president. Everything he prints, they print as solid.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken. Why could he not go to AP and ask them up front for the information? Why could that? I mean, especially if it was going to put American lives in danger, as this, as the Attorney General just said.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes, Alan.
Plausible deniability.
It seems like, you know, he didn't say it, but it could just be, you know, some shadiness. But, you know, it could be argued that it's for national security, you know. That's, you know, if you're talking about American lives in danger, then it's obviously national security, so a national security matter. So what, you know, I don't see what the problem is.
Can we say, hey, Alex, can we say Benghazi? Okay.
I don't understand you.
Well, what you got is, on that matter, it's national security, but it wasn't in their interest to do the right thing about, you know, our embassy and the folks that got hurt during there, back over there. They don't want to give out the information about that.
Yeah, you know, I just think that, I personally think that, you know, Republicans are just railing for no reason, just making noise.
Oh, my God.
Because, honestly, you know, things like this have gone on, you know, and they're completely silent if a Republican's in office. So
what?
I don't believe any side.
That's
anymore,
true.
You know? Well, it's completely true. I mean, you know how many embassies were attacked when Bush was president?
It doesn't,
yeah, I know what you're
going to
say.
Attack,
it doesn't,
Alex,
matter because the ambassador didn't die,
so
right? Lots of people were died. A lot of people died when Bush was president at our embassies. You know, but you're just making noise.
Really?
Okay.
Hold on.
Go ahead. Hold on. Go ahead, Jeff. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me take my break. Hold on, and Jeff, come back, and then you can tell me what your side is.
All right.
Alex is saying, you know, I've heard the same story. This is not the first time the folks have died in embassies, and so now we want to bark.
No doubt.
The American Beverage Association says the focus should not be on moderate drinkers, but rather on people who have been convicted of drunken driving. This is ABC News.
Never bet on a horse named Tripod. Never go cliff diving with a guy named Cliff. It's just too many cliffs. Never play leapfrog with a unicorn. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, tires, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $21.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Guys, discomfort and chafing from wetness-related friction can hit any time. Get relief and prevent it too with Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder for your feet and Body Powder for your, you know. Whether you're working out or just holding down the couch, you're a guy. And unlike baby powders, Gold Bond's got the medicated formulas to fight itch, odor, and wetness. Plus, it's got that cooling kick that lets you know it's working wherever. Keep it cool with Gold Bond Medicated Foot and Body Powders. It's a guy thing. Use as directed.
Who doesn't love a road trip? ABC's Karen Chase says a lot more of us these days are passing on the travel tradition.
Americans are downshifting on driving. A University of Michigan study found the drop-off in driving began before the recession and is being driven by millennials, who just don't drive as much as past generations. Researchers say it's partly because of the advent of the computer and digital devices. Who needs to drive to someone's house when you can text them instead? Other factors fueling the decline include improvements in mass transit and the aging of baby boomers, who are dropping out of the workforce and commuting less. Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now they're not ready for primetime player, apparently is. NBC says Bill Hader is leaving Saturday Night Live at the end of the season, and that means we're not going to see this guy anymore.
Your car is cloudy.
Thank you.
Located inside a crashing blimp.
That's Hader as Weekend Update New York City correspondent Stefan. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Stop in at your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer and get a fuel-efficient Fusion for just $209 a month or 0% financing for 60 months. Go to driveoneohio.com for more details.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock, and there's a lot going on in Washington. There's nothing going on locally that I know of, but there's a lot going on in Washington, and it's strange. You know, I played One Nation Under a Groove. I need to tell me we rocking the White House or something, because something's going on. There's a foul air in the wind, and, you know, it's kind of weird. No, Jeff, no, no. 8518, your mic is on.
Well, what's going on, Trace? That ain't ever been going on before. It's always a fire within the air when you're talking about the United States government.
No. I've never seen the government go after its own friendly fire. I mean, people don't realize how much of the president had this media in his pocket, and so I don't understand how it goes from in the pocket to it's in the cut.
Well, Tracy, he's at the end of his last 4 years. I really don't think it matters how much they're attacking.
No, it does.
Yeah, Tracy, listen, remember, President Bush's approval rating was supposedly at his all-time high in his last 4 years. So Obama is beating him really right about now. So I really don't think it matters anymore.
What did you just say?
His approval rate, Bush's approval rating in his last 4 years was at the time at the country's all-time low, not all-time high, all-time low. And Obama is beating him right now. So
no,
it's
sir.
Saying a lot. Oh, yeah, Obama's
no, that's
approval
not
rating
true.
Is...
But what does that have to do with him going after the Associated Press today? What does that have to do with all... I mean, it doesn't make sense for him to go... I mean, all you have to do is make a phone call. They've given him everything, including the White House. They never vetted him walking in. So
he's
all you had to do is make
out,
a phone
right?
call. Pardon me?
He's on his way out. He's on his way
no,
out.
No, 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 no. You ain't got to go to jail on your way out and be the first African-American president.
He ain't going to jail. Don't even look at it with
no,
like that.
No,
it
all, no, 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 because, see, you, we don't know. What now the question is that nobody knew. The question is, why did they go and subpoena the Associated Press? What were the documents that were trying to get out that couldn't get out? And why are they trying to hold them that was so dire that they went and they subpoenaed the AP, which is the First Amendment, instead of just calling them on the phone and saying, listen, those are too secure for you to let out? I mean, just common sense. Rick, if I tell you something and I say, look, don't tell anyone because it's going to kill the city of Youngstown. If it's true and I look at it, you know, I will give you some freedoms as long as you give me another freedom on the other side. But this is crazy.
I get it. I get it. And I've come to the conclusion that every presidency has its so-called secrets that they want to make sure that no one knows, especially the American public. And for some strange reason, certain people, the same thing with Whitewater, some people find out certain things and they feel like they want to tell the world, and so now we create a whole conspiracy about it. I mean, it ain't nothing new, Trace. It really ain't nothing new.
Listen, it's not anything new, but this is new for this president. He has not gotten any bad press until the last 3 weeks. I mean, all of a sudden, he's now becoming enemy number one instead of the beloved son.
Well, hold on, Trace. Now, when you say he hasn't gotten any bad press, you're saying the people that supposedly were in his corner didn't say anything bad about him? Is that what
no.
you're saying?
That's what I'm...
Okay.
What I'm Rick, you got to understand, this president has not gotten any bad press. This has been an administration that was in... They were endeared to him. They loved him. From the time he stepped on the walls in Springfield, Illinois. No, from the time he stepped onto the steps at the DNC in 2004, he became, and all of a sudden, oh, in the last 2 weeks, he's becoming my best friend when it comes to talk radio. This is not even, you know, political season is over. So now we're no longer running for elections, and he's given us more to talk about in the last 2 weeks than he gave me in the last 6 years.
Well, I mean, it makes you wonder what's really going on. But if you're finally asking that question, then we're a little slow. We should have been asking what's really going on from day one.
You missed my point. We've been asking the question, but I'm on a low-powered station in the middle of Youngstown. Now I see CNN, you know, pushing the envelope. He went after his friends.
Went after his friends.
You guys got to understand. He went after his best
friend.
His best.
Everybody ain't friends when you talk
Rick,
politics.
Rick. No, Rick. Listen.
You're talking politics
his best,
now.
He actually came to his best friend and slapped him.
He looked under his own covers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I get the analogy. He went after, but I mean, we got to be real. Who's really a friend in politics? Who's
Rick,
really friend?
No, sweetie, you're missing it. You're shallow.
Can I tell you what's going on for real?
Go ahead, Alex.
I'll tell you what's really going on.
All right.
Once again, and it's about to happen in another election cycle where Republicans are three steps behind the Democrats. They got y'all card. The only thing that they're doing, CNN, because they're in the pocket in Democrats, and or in that liberal progressive whatever, and you know MSNBC, and they're reporting this stuff because they're getting ready to, because after 8 years, the country always gets get sick of the sitting president, you know, and they start to become more critical. And so what all they're doing is trying to make it seem as if the sitting Democrats are more reasonable so that they can win another election. And, you know, just don't and it seems like, you know, Republicans are going to fall for the okey-doke again, and just and the party's just going to shrink even further.
I think you're Alex. I usually pay attention. I think you're off on this one.
I don't know what he's off. I think they're going to find a way to do just what he said, because they do every time. And when they put Juan Williams' son in charge of minority outreach for the National Party, I thought like this: what the heck are y'all doing? This is stupid. This boy doesn't know anything about reaching out to anybody, because he doesn't understand being black. So you know, why are you hiring him to do it? It's just like we had the young man working for our party in Ohio, and he knew nothing about the black community and did not listen to anybody about anything. Stupid, stupid, stupid. And they will find a way to be stupid once again.
But Jeff and Tracy, I mean, really, really, who, once again, you guys are saying I don't, I'm not following you, but real talk, do we really understand, we in Youngstown, Ohio, or even Alex and we're in Chicago, do we really understand what's going on in Washington, even the things that look like they make sense to us, do we really understand that stuff, or are they playing a game, that looks like some people are playing and some people aren't?
Right.
It's beyond us. Tracy,
no.
It's beyond us.
It's beyond you, maybe, Rick, but don't say that to me, because it's not. I've been there. So it doesn't matter what you say.
Listen, sweetie, it's not about your locale.
Sure isn't.
It's about what you research and what you know and how you see behind it. It's about your revelation. But we need to understand that just looking at things on the surface doesn't make sense. Right now, we see Benghazi, and we see that they've gone after the president on Benghazi. Then on Friday, we find out the IRS has targeted conservative groups when it comes to IRS and trying to become a nonprofit status on 501c4s. So those two things we saw. And Jeff came up and started talking about the Navy SEAL 6. The young men that died.
Six, right.
So, okay, you get that right there. But then all of a sudden, we know that the press has been President Obama's friend. He has gotten a pass on anything and everything. Even when he's wrong, they just blow past it. That's Associated Press, that's Reuters, that's all of them. They never dig deep when it comes to this administration. They don't even let us know when he poops. If it smells bad or good, they don't care, because it's President Obama and he's gotten a pass. MSNBC, CNN, and CBS, they have given him clear passes. And then Fox News has been somewhat lenient and not as hard-hitting as they could and or should be.
Right.
So now, all of a sudden, he goes, and instead of calling them on the phone and saying, the information that you got that leaks from our source is a bad thing, we need that back, and we need to know where it came from. They turn this into a scandal where you actually subpoena the Associated Press, and you could have taken care of it with a phone call, and then your attorney general, he recuses himself because I got a friend at the press?
I like it. It makes for a great dramatized story. It really does.
But Tracy, here's a rub for me. Not only did they take the records concerning that, but they also took records from a wide range of, you know, AP phone records. They took them all.
Can anybody say scandal? They're going to take that show off.
They sure are, because I tell you what, they're up to date. Listen, I agree with you, but the thing is you have to understand, Rick, if you work in this, you understand it. And if you study it, you can understand it too. That's why people know what you know, what is really going on if you've been around.
I agree with you, but what I'm saying is this is why they make the people that follow conspiracies, this is why they make them crazy, because you're asking the right questions, but if you don't have the correct if you don't have, I guess in so many ways, the right sources to get those answers, because if you really follow this stuff like you and Tracy do, you follow this stuff, and a lot of times your speculation can be backed up by your investigation, but then at the same time, when they make your investigation not credible, you look like a crazy person talking foolish nonsense stuff because your sources aren't credible anymore. When your sources are credible, but the reality of it is, they don't want your source to be true. They don't want your story, your questions to sound like they hold any type of legitimate weight. So that's what I'm saying. They do this stuff all the time.
But people are asking the right questions. We just saw the press conference with Attorney General Eric Holder.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He just recused himself. We listened to it. He recused himself. He couldn't answer any questions. The question is, why is he there? Now, he's there trying to answer questions that he can't answer about the subpoenas that went into the Associated Press in front of the press, and the press is not happy right now. The question is, why did they not make a phone call and say, I need those back? What were they fishing for? Because they had to be fishing for more than what they said they were looking for, because a phone call would have solved the whole problem. And that's the issue. My question is not about, you know, and so the question is, how do you not call your friend and you know it is your friend and all you had to do was call and say, Rick, can you go and not do this? Or can you pull those for me? Or make sure that those don't come out. I've been your friend for the last 6 years.
I agree, Trace, but everything is not always as it appears. That's all I'm saying. Is not what's really going on the inside.
Listen, I understand what you're saying, but my question is, why are we not asking that question?
We are. We're not getting the answers that we want.
No, Rick, I still hear that this is a witch hunt. I'm quite sure President Obama has taken up cussing in the last couple of days. I'm almost certain of it.
And he's probably smoking weed right about now. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that might be
no,
true.
No, weed wasn't his thing. He liked coke.
But I know he's smoking cigarettes. Because you know that he was trying to put them down.
He was
trying to put the cigarette down, and I think he said, you know, skip that. I'll try that after I get out of office.
He's a black man in a high pressure position, and most black people outside of saved black people in high pressure positions smoke weed.
Rick, that ain't right. That ain't right. You know what? I'm gonna start hanging up on you like I do Paul. That ain't right.
Hey, it's true, Trace.
No.
Well, I'll tell you again though. You just have to really. Slow down, and you could know it if you would, you know, just do a little bit of homework. So you don't have to be, you know, Dick Tracy to figure it out. You know, you don't have to be that. But, you know, it's very clear that the press is trying their best to protect him, and now that he's helping cloud the issue so that you won't pay attention to Benghazi, because that's where he could get impeached at, because what they did there was treason.
So
SEAL Team 6 is a great possibility.
So look at all this. Now look at this. So is this a bait and shift?
Mm-hmm.
A bait and switch?
This is a play along with it to shift it, yeah.
Because honestly, there's too much going on too fast right now, too quick. There just is.
You're right.
I mean, there's just too much information.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. It's a lot going on, but still, are they really going to tell us that this cat done blew it for us and he's really not doing the best job? Are they really going to tell us that?
Yeah.
He's put a target on his back.
He sure did.
He put a target on his back, and his administration has put a target on his back. And not only has he gone after the press, but he went off the IRS. You got the people that you hate, you love, and you trust. All
he's attacked the CIA, the FBI,
the acronym,
the AP, and who else did you just say? Somebody else.
That's the Chicago way, Tracy. That's the Chicago way.
That's right.
Now he's getting ready to see what happens when you do that outside of Chicago.
Hey, Tracy.
Hold on.
Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, you know, I really think that Democrats are just it's political posturing, and they know that, like, and Obama knows. I think it's just the DNC plan that Obama, it's his last term. He's not running again, so you know. You're starting to see Democrats come out against Obama and different things because they're posturing and they're getting ready for this. You see different Democratic congressmen now going away from the Affordable Care Act. And
why?
Different thing. They're separating themselves from it.
Why?
Because they know that it's not going to be popular in the next. You know, once everything goes through, and they're going to lose if they don't separate themselves from. That's what I really think is what's going on, and Obama he's playing his role so that he can look like the bad guy, and then the rest of the Democrats can, you know, create some distance between themselves and him, and then you know, hopefully they can keep their and most of them keep their seats with Queen Hillary comes in 2016. That's the plan.
Alex, Hillary, I don't know if Hillary, she might run, but I don't know if she's going to win. I don't think we're going to have a Democratic president the next time around.
We're going to have a Republican,
Alex. Queen Hillary isn't getting in, trust me.
I don't want a Republican or Democrat. I want a Libertarian in there. But, I mean, you know, I don't think a Democrat is going to win, but I'm just saying that it's going to be tough, as I think that's the plan that they're executing right now. And I think Hillary Clinton, she's going to come on the stage, and she's, you know, it wasn't till the very, you know, till late in the race that, you know, that Obama really, when the lights actually came on, that he could actually beat Hillary, because for a while it wasn't looking good, you know. So Hillary is tough to beat. The Clintons are, you know, it's hard to beat the Clintons.
She's tough to beat, but once again, I think now we're dealing with a system, and before we get into who's going to be over the system, we have to understand what they want out of the system. And I still believe that America is one of those countries that was founded on, and guys, you might want to beat me up for saying this, it was founded on a man running things. Now, you can beat me up for saying this if you want, but Hillary's not getting in, not yet. There's going to be at least two more male presidents before we have a female president.
They're going to try to bury Hillary with Benghazi.
It's not going to happen.
Well, however they do it, she's not getting in.
No. You got to understand. You got to look at what's happening with the statistical numbers of who wins what. There is a high possibility of her getting in. Don't take her out because of her gender, because she is genderless.
Tracy,
she's Hillary.
Tracy, she should have gotten in over Obama. What happened?
Rick, this is not about her gender. She is genderless. She is androgynous.
No. Hillary Clinton is a left icon, and you better believe it. And what you say, she should have gone over Obama, it was very clear what happened. They created Obama for this position and this time. They thought that they moved him at this time because it was the best time for them to move him because they knew he had no weight to him. They had to put him in there.
If Hillary and Obama are technically the same person on paper, why not let Hillary in?
Because
why not?
because there's no question in the execution of getting it done with him, because you guys are going to follow him no matter what he does, because he's not the president of some, he's the president of all.
Oh, so Hillary was going, you were going to ask different questions to Hillary?
Absolutely, absolutely. Hillary wouldn't get the pass that Obama gets.
And she didn't.
All right, so what I'm saying
no,
is...
Hold on, hold on, Rick. Rick. There's a reason why she was crying about getting him in.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reason why... Hold on.
Yeah.
Remember, she started crying down there in New Hampshire about him getting in. There's a reason why she was lying, talking about guns flying across the air at her, and she was receiving flowers.
Yeah, I, Tracy...
No.
There's she didn't know the plan.
She didn't have to
know
the plan. She didn't have... No.
Hillary didn't know the plan.
That's crazy.
You know, she's too far up on the food chain not to know the plan.
Thank you.
216, your mic is on.
Every white woman in America is going to vote for Hillary in 2016. I'm telling you that right now. It's Republicans are through for another 8 years.
Unless you can
stop every white woman in America, I don't think you can.
Oh, I don't think that'll happen. I think every white feminist will vote for her.
The question is not the Republicans that she won't get the Republican vote. The question is, will she get the independents?
That's the whole thing.
The white women, she will.
I don't think so.
Hillary, first of all,
she's been denigrated by every man that she served with, and put out there and more or less prostituted, and either they may liken unto that, but to tell you the truth, I don't think that she's that's going to be that well liked, and I think that Barack Obama is going to make sure. Listen to me. I think that Barack Obama is going to make sure that she is not that well liked as well, because this Benghazi thing is going to come right back to her face.
It all depends, because now let me ask you guys.
Come no place
now,
else.
Hold on, y'all. Now I got a question for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a conspiracy theorist.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Do you guys think that we have put now the new Associated Press and the new IRS in so that Benghazi will get played down and it will take up the time that we will be paying attention to Benghazi and the new revelations of Benghazi so that we will forget so that Hillary can get in?
That is horrible.
What is that?
216?
That's my background.
Oh, okay.
No, that wasn't
216?
Me. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah, I'm just thinking about that. I mean, think about that.
Because, see, right now, remember, we were plateauing and we were heading up a hill with Benghazi and 12 misses and all that kind of stuff and Susan Rice and Republicans. And now we've shifted. We are so scattered in our focus now because we've got AP here. We got IRS there. We got SEAL 6 here. We got all these things going on that now everybody's only going to be paying attention to the focus that of their attention.
Yeah,
so now
like
that clears the way of Hillary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what Alex said, in a way, that this is kind of their plan.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a good plan, but the thing is Barack Obama does not like Hillary.
It ain't about like.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's about control, Jeff.
I'm going to tell you just like this. It is about control, and she cannot afford the Clintons to be in control of the United States when he tries to go to the United Nations.
Who?
Barack Obama.
No,
Bill's not going.
So now you think? Whoa! So you think that now Obama wants to go to the UN?
He is going to the UN
to do what?
To be Secretary General.
Secretary General of the United Nations.
You watch this one because they created him for this. Henry Kissinger says, we have the new one for the world order.
Hold up.
The perfect one. Where can he do the world order at? But he ain't going to get it done through the United States because people are going to go crazy and they're going to start firing off every bullet they got left in a minute because they're upset with this stuff now.
You don't let
your men die out in the field for nothing. Period. And it's not a Bush thing here.
And he wants to be what?
Secretary General. He wants Kofi Annan or Sun K-moon or whatever that position right there. Okay, that's where he's going because that's where they're going to take him.
So you mean to tell me she would be a problem for him to go to the UN?
Absolutely, because she has to agree to it.
And you don't think
she
would?
They don't. You don't think they like? He likes the Clintons? I didn't know that. I wasn't
no,
aware of that.
You know they don't like each other.
No, because
yeah, I don't pay attention that much.
He tried
I didn't
to
know
kill
that.
Him, and he tried to kill her. You know, let's be real. Let's watch this political theater correctly now. You know, because that's what it is. You're seeing people work together that would not work together normally. When she took the Secretary of State's job, I knew exactly what she was doing. I thought she was going to do something like Benghazi, and so it would go to him and shut him down. That was my thought in the first place.
But if Benghazi goes down, she goes down with the Ben.
Not necessarily, not if she took her order.
So you mean to tell me that 3 o'clock call?
Absolutely. All she got
well,
to do is
the Clintons
lay that
are very
seat.
Popular. I was going to say, the Clintons are very popular still.
They are very popular. It has nothing to do with popularity. It's not. They're not necessarily popular across the world. And Bill is, but Hillary is not.
No, that's not
And good. Especially when Hillary tried to take Obama's new message of if you don't do gay rights and women's rights, we're not going to give you any foreign aid. You remember that one? Uh-huh. Yeah, see, those things are not forgotten by the countries that say, hey, kiss my ring on the gay rights and things. Iran says, there are no gay people in my country. We don't have them. Why? Because they'll kill them if they find them. You have to understand that. You've allowed the Muslim caliphate to take over the world, and then you're going to think that they're going to go, and go along with all these teachings. You've got to be crazy.
Hey, I'm going to take a break on that one. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll leave the phone lines on so you guys can have a conversation.
Hello? Anybody here?
Doing fine. I need to take all this stuff off.
Today. This message.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Remember that? Second, I just thought maybe I just threw that.
The call came.
The call came,
and it went.
But hold on, but it rang in both the State House and the White House, and no one answered the phone.
Like I said, the call came, and it went. I don't know. That sounds like South Carolina. That's Rick's background.
No, that's South Carolina. South Carolina collecting rent. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Just had to, you know, play that. It just seemed appropriate. So here it is. You know,
the question is, you get the phone call, no one answers it, and I still think there may be something to what I said. And Alex, in some ways, I think you may be right, but I don't think a libertarian's not going to make it. You know that, right?
He's not on.
That's right.
Yeah,
so libertarian. I mean, and no matter how great I think Rand Paul is, he can't run as a libertarian and win.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Third party candidates. Yeah, you know, and I've always said we need another party, but I want to tell you guys this: the infrastructure is not set up for competition. It isn't. You understand that, right, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. I know you can't have it. You can only have a two-party system.
It's not. The law is not written for you to throw another
wrench
in. You can't. You're not. They're not going to let that happen. And they were masterful when they put that in.
Oh, absolutely. Here's the thing. You have this. All of these two-party system now, and it's not really meant for you to be a two-party system, but it was.
What do you mean it wasn't meant?
It wasn't meant. It's supposed to be for anybody to be able to run.
You want
to
bet?
It was meant that way.
Do you think it was meant that way?
Yeah, because you had several different parties at first.
You still do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have resurgences of the same over and over, because see the counterpart to the libertarian is the progressive. But the progressives just said, bunk this, we're going to go and take over the Democrat Party, and that's what they did. They took over the national Democrats. I'm not talking about all the people that are Democrats here locally, because there's many guys in office that I would vote for if I could vote for them. But that's neither here nor there.
Hey, local call, your mic is on.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing?
Hey, Mr. Dover.
Okay, what's going on? We're going to now ship our natural gas and oil overseas, just like we did the jobs, instead of bringing up Detroit and Youngstown, which they could do, and make them big steel industry giants again. They're going to do this. And we no longer have any real Americans in charge of this country or in the labor union, because the union members are nothing but sheeple anymore, and the unions could truly stop all of this nonsense, because you've got the longshoremen and Teamsters and everybody else could shut this down and stop all of this nonsense. And we need to rebuild Youngstown and Detroit with our cheap natural gas, which is underneath our feet, and shut down these nuclear power plants too, come back with gas-fired electric, because these nuclear power plants is going to get us too. You can bet on that. And how you been doing, Tracy?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good.
I'm doing good. I'm watching this political theater being played out in Washington, D.C., and I'm watching the American public being played like puppets. And want to know if we're really paying attention and how it's going to affect us. Because I think we watch it like we watch TV, not realizing that it's coming to a home near you.
Yeah. Fast and Furious, Benghazi, and the IRS, it's sad.
Ooh.
What's happening in this country to all of us. And that's what's coming down.
Yeah, it's coming to a home near you, and they are... I don't quite understand why we're doing what we do, how we do it. And I think that they're playing more games with us than we're paying attention to.
We need a nationalist, American, patriotic government, president at this time.
You're not going to get that.
Well, we've got to try, all of us.
I was just saying, and before you called in, we were talking about political parties, and I want to read this list off. Alex is a libertarian, and he is a big Rand Paul guy. And you know, there is a two-party system here that is entrusted and institutionalized deep down within the American political system. Right now, the active parties in the United States of America are the America First Party, the American Conservative Party, the American Freedom Party, Americans Elect, America's Party, Christian Liberty Party, Citizens Party of the United States, Communist Party of the United States, Freedom Socialist Party, Independent American Party, Justice Party, Modern Whig Party, National Socialist Movement, Objectivist Party, Party for Socialism and Libertarian, Peace and Freedom Party, Prohibition Party, Raise, UNIDA Party, Reform Party of the United States, Socialist Action Party, Socialist Alternate Party, Socialist Equality Party, Socialist Party United States, Socialist Workers Party, United States Marijuana Party, United States Pacifist Party, United States Pirate Party, Unity Party of America, the Workers' World Party, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, the Republican Party, and the Democrat Party.
That's a lot of parties.
They're throwing parties.
They're not having no fun.
Hey, that pacifist party is for me.
But just like with our, I can't pronounce it right, marijuana, they've got, there's two different kinds of hemp. One is one that is not hallucinogen, and
you ain't supposed to smoke neither one.
Huh?
You shouldn't smoke any of it.
Well, you shouldn't. But anyway, the one is non-hallucinogen, and it can create 80,000 jobs. We can make shoes out of it, clothes out of it. It's good to eat, and we ship it in from Canada, but we can't grow it. And like I said, it'll make 80,000 jobs, give landowners a cash crop. And I would have loved to have seen that come through instead of Kasich selling bonds on the turnpike to the tune of $1.5 billion. And that would have made the money for the state.
That wouldn't have made no money for the state.
You would have taxed it. Sure, it would have. You know, if you get a cash crop growing on people's lands, of course they tax, you know, tax you for your income.
Which one is it? What
hemp,
crop?
Hemp.
Well, I mean, you know, you're going to be getting the hemp that is going to be being raised in very warm climates because that's going to be the most potent of your of what you're getting. Then they have to process it to some degree and put filters on it so people don't, you know, get more and more lung cancer with all the stuff that they're going to do.
This is not medicinal. No. It's a fabric. It's a fabric. It makes tennis shoes.
Oh yeah, well, hemp.
But they tell me that the hemp, that if you use anything to make hemp, it never wears out.
Yes, it makes good paper. And we're shipping it in from Canada. So if we're shipping it in from Canada, it's growing in Canada. And that's a colder than we are. But this is a non-hallucinogen kind, and I didn't want the kind that...
Gotcha.
But we will vote on it, and when they vote on it, I will vote for the use of it just to get the good hemp back in this country. And what was the funny part about all this, the hemp was not outlawed until the 40s, and I don't remember anybody back in the days of the war smoking pot. We all smoke cigarettes, but not pot.
You guys drank Coke. That's why you didn't have to smoke pot.
Right. So
y'all had Coca-Cola, for real. They tell me Coca-Cola cured anything.
Yeah. So it's all interesting. We could really fix our country, but we need a good president. And this one that we've got should be impeached for all the things you've already mentioned.
Do you really think America is going to allow a good president to come forward? And if there is a good president, who do you think that president will be?
Wow.
I you can only read your own mind, your own heart, and I can only read mine.
And I would make one of the best presidents in the world, but I'm not running.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I really wish that I could get Alex's Rand Paul in as one of the either the president or vice president, and my man the Mexican what's his name out of Texas,
Rubio?
No, he's out of Florida. Out of Texas. Ted Cruz. I like Ted Cruz. I know people don't care for him so much.
So
I,
you want Rand
like
Paul
him.
And Ted Cruz? You want, you want a Paul Cruz?
Paul
ticket.
Cruz or Rubio or Rubio Paul type of ticket.
But they need, none of them will attack what we need to attack.
They're not going, even if they got there, they wouldn't do the job.
I disagree with you.
Because they're not talking about getting rid of what really needs to be gotten rid of, and that's the Federal Reserve Board.
No doubt.
And the national debt, and also the U.N. needs to be flushed down the commode real fast. And we need to erase most of this national debt, just like Iceland did, and tell them, you made the debt go fly a kite, you know. Because that's what needs to be done. Because we can't pay this national debt off. It's impossible. And it was reported the other day that the Federal Reserve Board, on top of the $16 trillion that we owed, just printed another $16 trillion and passed around to all the banks around the world. And that was reported too. So how can you possibly pay something off that's growing, that we don't even know how fast it is growing, because they're not telling you anymore. It was secretly given to all these banks. $16 trillion more. And then you go with the national debt at $100 trillion for unfunded liabilities and obligations. Then you go at $1,000 trillion because what these banks just pulled on us with their derivatives. So it's impossible to repay back. It's got to be erased.
That is true. My friend, I will admit that and agree with you on that for sure.
And our children
for
do
sure.
not have to pay for it, or any American should pay for this thing that they created.
I don't think the American people care about the children anymore.
I certainly do. And, you know, without them, we're nothing, period. We're just nothing. Because then if you don't care about the children, you know, what's left?
But I don't think we care, because people that care about the children don't kill the children, and we kill our kids. We don't. I read something earlier today, and I can't quote where I read it from, but it said that the American people don't own their children. Parents don't own their children.
Marsha Ellis. What's her name? Harris. Something. Up, she's the big one, not the lady here that I just mentioned. Harris, her name is.
Miss Melissa. No.
Barry
no,
Harris.
No, no, that, she, no. No, no,
Barry
no, 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 no. This was someone else. It was actually written in, and I saved it on my home computer. I didn't save it on this one.
Send it to me when you get
and
a chance.
And it said that parents do not own their children.
The schools are indoctrinating them and taking them down the wrong path, and have been so ever since we got this education department in D.C.,
But that was under Carter, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Boardman Frame House.
Hey, listen,
yeah.
I gotta go. I'm at the end of my day. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM.
Have a great day.
See you tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. The number is 347-945-5229. Jeff and I want to thank Jeff for coming in and hanging out with me today, and thanking all the calls that came in. I want to thank my guest. Who came on, and neverenough.com, Jeff Gaines. And hope to see you on tomorrow. Tomorrow, Styx and I will be here, and we will be talking with Ellis Washington. And Ellis, we're going to be talking about, and I want to be talking about Monsanto tomorrow. It looks like the Supreme Court has made a ruling on a Monsanto case in reference to soybeans. And so,
just soybeans, or are they going to be able to, do life?
You gotta listen to find out.
I will be listening.
God bless you guys. I love you, and we'll see you then tomorrow.
Listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600.
Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM. You're listening to the Valley's News Talk. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
From ABC News.